You do have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We have before us the agenda. I need a pen. Thank you. Any conspiracies, intentions, ill will? Okay, so there's no objection to the agenda. At one point, we were going to move the reconsideration ahead, but actually, I'm hoping that somebody will want to reconsider after the veto, so we'll just leave it where it is. So we have the business of the day. Let's rise. I've asked our road surface area supervisor in the Butte, Mr. Mike Shields, to lead us in the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have minutes, budget meetings, regular assembly meeting. Any comments? Those will be entered into the record. Brings us to agency reports. Mr. Wasilla.
Bert Cottle, City of Wasilla. I was going to talk about fun things tonight, so I left a copy of this on everybody's podium tonight on the circus coming to town. And less than 2 weeks ago, we were here talking about the upcoming budget. During that budget presentation, Michelle Overstreet and Michael Carson were here, along with a couple other nurses and some other people, to talk about two what I consider very important programs. One was SART, and one was Youth Court. At the end of their presentation discussion, and as they started to walk away, the deputy mayor, Mr. Arvin, said, "You know, sometimes we forget, but I would like to say thanks for the job you do." And I remember all seven of the assembly members clapping, as well as 100 people that were sitting here in the audience that night. So I would hope that is not lost later tonight in the minutes or in the meeting when we come to vetoes. So one of the things that I saw in the mayor's list of veto was youth court. So in preparation for this meeting tonight, I had us pull the 92 cases that we had last year in 2014. Of the 92 cases, we had 13 juveniles resided in the city limits of Wasilla. Two juveniles resided in the city of Houston. 77, and I repeat, 77 juveniles resided in the Matsu borough. So out of that total, Palmer had a good year. None of their kids were in trouble, juveniles, and had to be referred to youth court. So out of 92 cases, 85% of them kids come out of the borough. Okay? So it's not just about City of Wasilla, City of Palmer, City of Houston. They're all our kids. It costs $58,000 a year to put somebody in prison. It costs $2,000 a year to save these kids. So I just ask you to remember that. Also, so I thought, okay, if it's about the money, if it's really about the money, so let's find a different revenue source. So I just pulled average numbers. So I have a copy from October 2nd, 2014, from the State of Alaska Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, which they value the land inside the city limits, total assessed property value inside the city of Wasilla at $1,468,000,000, and I'll just round it off there. So I thought, okay, so what property tax comes outside the city of Wasilla? So if it's a 10 mil tax, and just a flat 10 mil tax, that's $14.6 million in tax revenues coming out of the city limits of Wasilla for the borough. Five of the top 10 property taxpayers in the borough reside within the city limits of Wasilla. Tobacco tax last year was $7.3 million raised. I'll use a low number. One-third of that come outside the city limits of Wasilla. So that's $2.4 million come out of the city. Fire service, I rounded it off to 2 mils. I think it's actually 1.9. So that's another $2.9 million. License fees, we lost another $100,000 in license fees last year that usually went to the city, and $40,000 in bed tax. So that was just the high numbers I picked, and I didn't ask Palmer to pull their numbers or Houston. So that's just over $20 million a year in revenue that comes directly or indirectly outside of the city limits. So if you want to give some of that back, I'll pay for SART. I'll pay for youth court. But I don't think that's what it's about. I think it's all of our kids. It's all of our sexual assault victims that we have to look after. So I'm just asking you, when it comes to time, to please do the right thing. Thank you.
Thank you. You didn't want to take over the school, Tim Marcello. We'll look at the numbers. Is Palmer here? Houston? School district? Moving along. Mr. Tom Healy is going to report on the Wastewater and Septage Advisory Board.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Assembly members, I'm Tom Healy. I'm the Public Works Director for the City of Palmer. I'm also the Chair of the Borough's Wastewater and Septage Advisory Board. This board was established about 3 years ago, I guess, and has been meeting regularly around every other month schedule now. And I'd just like to bring you up to date on an issue that will be before you, I believe, at your second meeting in June. The board has been working with the help of borough staff on our focus has been on identifying a location for a septage facility, basically a place where septage can be dumped and treated that's in the borough. It's, we all know the all of this goes to Anchorage now, but Anchorage is almost certainly going to discourage that practice, and the borough area is going to have to come up with a solution for this. So there have been a number of actions over the last couple of years. Most recently, the Septage and Advisory Board passed a resolution in April identifying a preferred site for this this treatment facility at the central landfill. To back up from that action, the borough has, through the board, had identified search areas, criteria for what the property had to meet for this facility, et cetera. So that culminated in April with the board recommending the following an engineered report by CH2M Hill, recommending that the site for the septage treatment facility be at the central landfill. That action went through the Planning Commission at their meeting last week, and the Planning Commission approved a resolution, which the Assembly will see at the next meeting, basically supporting that recommendation in terms of the preferred site being at the central landfill. So that's a quick summary of where we are. I think we've come a long way in the last couple of years. We're pleased with the progress of this on the committee, and I think there's also some financial aspects of this, which I'll leave to the borough staff to report in more detail at your next meeting. But as I understand, the DEC, Department of Environmental Conservation, has approved the borough's grant or loan application, so there's some channels to funding opening up there. So that's a quick summary. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Thank you. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So we had a joint school board committee meeting. Is that right? Or no? Okay, that's this coming Monday. There was no joint meeting with Anchorage, Assembly Public Relations. Mr. Manager.
Good evening. Tomorrow, we are hosting, the borough is hosting, the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development and U.S. Census Bureau on a workshop over at Station 6-1 in Wasilla to really receive information on population estimates data, the 2020 census, the U.S. Census Bureau geography programs, economic data and trends, access for grant writers, and labor data access. Staff has put together this, Joss Allen from our planning department. We expect a full house over at 6-1, and we're going to be reaching out and doing more of these type of efforts to involve the business community, our local community, on these opportunities and measures. Today, I spent the good part of the morning in the Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority board meeting down in Anchorage, and the primary reason that I attended was regarding the acquisition of Pentax Alaska Natural Gas Company. This has some impact on the borough and the borough LNG projects. There was no decision made today, but we'll be keeping an eye on that. The last thing I have tonight, it's I've been in meetings with the Mat-Su Conventions and Visitors Bureau and Doug Clegg, and who's going to be coming forward and making a presentation of his interest in the property and an assisted living project in the borough. So if Doug would come forward and make a brief presentation, there's no action tonight, but there is a possibility that could be happening soon, and we're hoping it's going to be a win-win for all those involved and really add to our services here in the borough. Doug.
Yeah, push the button on your mic. There you go.
The beauty of technology. Can you guys hear me? My name is Douglas Clegg. I am a resident currently in Boise, Idaho, and I've spent a lot of time up in Alaska. I own property down in Kenai, and about a year and a half ago, we were meeting with some of your legislative representatives down in Juneau and happened to run into Mayor DeVilbiss. And he invited us to come up here. I met with him and John Moosey and John Lee at the Mat-Su Regional Medical Center, along with his placement director, in an effort to discuss an issue that they have, which is placement of seniors after they've had acute care services at the hospital. Currently, you do not have what we would call a rehabilitative post-acute or sub-acute care facility in the greater Mat-Su, which is a field facility that's really designed in large measure to help people move from a hospital situation to their homes. And so consequently, what's happening right now is that people are, they're full, they're staying in their swing beds, they don't have a place to go, they end up going home prematurely, they come back to the hospital for repeat visits, and it's causing some real challenges down there. It was a great meeting. We had some great discussions. We've spent about 12 to 18 months now, actually about 12 months, looking at property. We've met with both senior citizen centers. We've met with several of your elected delegates and Mayor Palmer, several of your assembly members. We met with Barb and Matthew earlier this week. And every time we come back to this topic, we end up somewhere next to the hospital because location and relationship to medical professionals is just essential for this type of a project. So we met with the CVB. We actually hired two real estate professionals and had broker opinions that were completed, third-party opinions on evaluation. And I met with the CVB, and we made an offer on their property, which John actually has a copy of. And it's a cash offer. I think as we visited with them, they're wanting transparency and wanting to make sure that their due diligence is done so that the sale of this property is done so properly. They feel a little bit like a glass house, and they should, since they're a group that apparently has had been viewed by the public very differently in a lot of settings. But we're thrilled. I have to tell you, we've been doing this for 20 years. I'm a member of the National Investment Council for Senior Housing, I'm also a member of ALPHA, which is Assisted Living Federation of America, CPAC, and several other associations that have been involved in senior care services for a long, long time. Your community right now is in dire need of this. This is not an issue. This is epic. If you look at the numbers of the growth of the seniors in the greater Mat-Su, you're one of five locations in the United States of America that has the fastest growing rate for seniors over the age of 65 in the United States. That includes the lower 48. And I think anybody that lives here or chooses to live here is asking a couple different questions. I know my wife and I were looking at your school systems here about 3 weeks ago, and the first question that came to my wife, I have five kids, three teenage daughters that are all graduated and gone and survived me, and two little boys, a 9 and 11-year-old. And the very first question she asked me is, Doug, if we're going to go to Alaska, I need to know what my boys are going to experience in the school system. And if I was a person that was going to relocate here and live here, and I had a loved one that I knew eventually was going to need this type of care, that would be my second question, is are there facilities adequate to meet the needs of my parents? It's a huge issue. It's also a concern, and there's story after story that we've heard as we've been here, people that live here and have a loved one that goes to the hospital, and when they're done with that experience, there's no place for them to stay. And what ends up happening, we lose them because they move out of the area because our relationships with our family members is always, it's a high priority for us. It's extremely high. So we are, we're about doing this for the right reasons. I can tell you, by the way, John, do I have 30 more seconds?
Is
28, yes, okay. As we looked at the properties and we met with the CVB, and I went to lunch today with the mayor of Palmer, and I visited with her about what we call legacy, passing the torch, remembering yesterday's experience. And I just finished The Colony Kids, which was a book I picked up here a month ago, read it over the weekend. And when I met with the CVB and I walked through their facilities, what I saw there was yesterday's story of the colonization of the greater Mat-Su. And the reality is that the story of the Mat-Su is living in the lives of your seniors right now. Your mayor from Wasilla just got up here and talked about kids having problems in the Mat-Su and needing juvenile attention services. And I can tell you, we, in our experience with the senior population, have found we created a curriculum called Ohana. This is about 12 years ago. We hired a curriculum director to write some curriculum for us, and we brought in, she was a specialist in the Meridian School District in Boise, Idaho, working with juvenile delinquents that could not be in the public school system and had to have direct supervisory educational services. She had 18 students, and when she brought them to our facilities and made these students interact with the seniors, and had the seniors prepare some of the curriculum moments like world history, war history, economic understanding. We had one individual whose dad was a Finnish carpenter for the Titanic. And when they came and held those tools and spent time with those seniors, she reportedly had a phenomenal change in their behavioral outcomes in a classroom setting. And it wasn't tied to what she was teaching. It was tied to what they were experiencing when they're interacting with the senior population. So we shared that with the CVB because it's not, we don't want to replace what they have at the visitor center. What we want to do is make that visitor center a part of what we create with this long-term care facility for your seniors. And we want to connect that with your VA monument that's up there. I can't think of a greater location for those that have served our country and eventually are going to end up in this type of facility to be adjacent to and connected with a monument for their service and the legacy that they've left in terms of their patriotic service. So there's a lot to discuss about this in terms of how we organize it, in terms of how we create it. I know tomorrow morning we're meeting with John Lee's executive team, and I'm bringing my architect in a video session out of the Salt Lake area to visit with them about what they need. What does this need to look like, and how do we create it? I'm sure that as we go forward, we're going to have to work through some of those, and we're hoping that we'll have your involvement in this, because it's more than just building a facility. It's creating something that we want to become a part of the community. So that's why we're here. And John, I hope that helps everybody understand what we're trying to accomplish.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And we look forward to working with you. Mr. Manager?
Mr. Manager, a comment?
Assembly Member Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to reiterate what Mr. Clegg stated. We've had a crisis for some time now at the hospital level in terms of placement of people who don't require acute care, and it is actually costing our community a fair amount of money, and it's also costing them less ideal care at the hospital level. If you think about the fact that you can't admit someone to the hospital and they have to stay in the ER for longer periods of time before their admission occurs, because the beds are taken up by people that can't be displaced, they don't need to be in an inpatient setting. It's got a big backlog that's getting worse and worse. And this is an excellent solution and something that's been desperately needed in this community for probably at least six to eight years. So I applaud the effort, and I hope that we as a borough assembly can do our best to make this happen.
Thank you. And those of us that have been attending those hospital briefings are very much aware that those hospital beds are full of people that shouldn't need to be there. We're hoping that'll be taken care of. So that brings us to the attorney comments. Mr. Spiropoulos?
I don't have any comments or updates tonight. Last meeting I reported we had two new lawsuits. We're working on both of those. Second meeting in August, we'll have an executive session to talk about those two and the PERS case.
Okay, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Mayor, the clerk's report is in your red folder, and that is all I have. It has the upcoming meeting schedule, pertinent election dates, and quasi-judicial report.
Thank you. Things are slowing down a little bit now that budget meetings are over. We have citizen and other correspondence and community council minutes. Madam Clerk.
IM number 15126, reporting of conclusion of contract for bid number 12032 to Angdegyuk Construction Enterprises Incorporated for the Hatcher Pass Access Road and Transit Facilities for the final contract amount of $3,013,796.73. IM number 15133, reporting of conclusion of contract for bid number 13118B to FE Contracting Incorporated for the Matsu Day School Construction for the contract amount of $9,112,000.
Thank you. That brings us to public hearings. Ordinance 15-066. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance approving an appropriation of $82,000 for Meadow Lakes Road Service Area Number 27, Fund Balance, Fund 281 to Fund 410, Project Number 30047 for Meadow Lakes Road Service Area Number 27 Capital Projects.
Thank you. This is a public hearing. Nobody signed up. Does anybody wish to speak to this? Hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Halter.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance serial number 15066 and ask for approval, please.
Thank you. Discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none. That passes by unanimous consent. Ordinance 15067.
An ordinance approving an appropriation of $40,000 from Alpine Road Service Area Number 31, Fund Balance, Fund 285 to Fund 410, Project Number 30051 for Alpine Road Service Area Number 31 Capital Projects.
Thank you. This, too, is a public hearing. There's nobody signed up. This is your chance to speak on this ordinance. Seeing and hearing No one rise. We will close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance serial number 15-067.
Thank you. Comments? Is there any objection? Hearing none, that passes. Ordinance 15-068.
An ordinance approving an appropriation of $50,000 from Greater Butte Road Service Area Number 26 Fund Balance Fund 280 to Fund 410 Project Number 30046 for Greater Butte Road Service Area Number 26 Capital Projects.
Thank you. This too is a public hearing. There's nobody signed up. Does anybody wish to speak? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance serial number 15-068.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, that passes and brings us to ordinance 15-069.
An ordinance amending Title 25 elections by repealing provisions for a runoff election for the office of mayor to mirror the way the assembly members are elected.
Okay. This is a public hearing. I'll open it. And we have Mr. Eugene that wishes to speak to this.
My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I represent myself. I follow public process. Is the public process done appropriately? The decision made by the governing body is most likely in the public interest. I speak tonight on ordinance number 069. As you know, I've said to you in the past, the two most important things of a governing body is, number one, certification of the election. Second is dealing with the budget. Tonight you have an item dealing with elections and how you're going to handle elections. Previous meeting, the regular meeting, I was pleaded with you to have two public hearings for this item to give a chance for the public to be engaged and not just fast-track this thing through because it deals with the elections. The response was silence. Now we're here, and you're proceeding with a public hearing without addressing it. I ask you again to do a continuation of public hearing on this item. Not just don't close it. Motion to continue public hearing. That's what you should be doing. And a footnote on this item, on runoff. You can't convince me that everyone here is satisfied with the number of people who participate in the election. The last election we've had here, it's been a real low turnout. City of Palmer election, City of Wasilla, City of Houston, and the borough. What you got here is an example where you're telling no runoff, then you have so many candidates, you got a lot of them, they're not going to need many votes to be the next mayor. Is that what you're asking? Maybe you should really not have an election and just decide among yourself. I'm the mayor and I'm the deputy mayor. But obviously that's the wrong way to go. You need an election. It needs to engage the public. This is not really engaging the public fairly. If you don't engage the public fairly, the end result is you're not going to have their support in whatever decisions you make. There's going to be a question we call legitimacy. So cutting it down to fewer people to decide to for votes, that's what this basically means, without a runoff, means was that really getting the voter support for a particular candidate? So I plead with you not to go this direction, and I also plead with you to continue public hearing so you could hear more than just me. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that wants to speak to the mayoral elections without getting personal? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance serial number 15-069. And I'd like to speak to it if I may.
You may.
This is a revenue sharing, saving proposal that could possibly save the borough $92,500 each election cycle, mayoral election cycle. It eliminates the requirement for a 40% requirement that the mayor must get in an election. And what I think is significant to note here is that we have a strong managerial form of government, with the assembly directing the actions of the manager. The mayor serves in a ceremonial position. He is to be the face of the borough at ceremonial meetings. And so the making him equal with the assembly as far as what the requirements are, I think is in line. It's really kind of illogical to require him to have a runoff election when the borough assembly, nobody in the borough assembly is required to have a runoff election. Nobody in the school board is required to have a runoff election. And those are more empowered positions, with all due respect, Mr. Mayor. So this will save the borough money that can be utilized in other manner. It's just an initiative. You know, there is an initiative to move our elections to November, and that initiative, I believe, has already been approved by the clerk. Is that right?
Mr. Mayor.
Madam Clerk.
They're gathering signatures right now. They just have to gather enough signatures to place it on the ballot.
So that's a proposed initiative, and if that initiative is successful, then this would move mayoral runoff elections into December, which is completely, entirely within the holiday season, and so that would create a conflict in itself. So I think this is a reasonable proposal to eliminate the runoff that is currently required under code. I should note that this became code in 1997. There's only been one mayoral runoff since then, but yet the money has always got to be set aside. And since it's set aside, it's always spent. And so I think we can better spend it by not setting it aside. Additionally, I think it's important to note that there's 11 other strong managerial-type forms of government in the state. Only two others of those require runoff elections. So we would certainly be in the majority if we eliminated the runoff requirement. So I just ask for your approval. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Assemblymember Culligan.
Yeah, at the moment I'll speak against it. I just don't see a big need for this discussion. I think it's probably more appropriate it's a great ballot initiative to see what the people would like to do, their own elections and the like, rather than at this table. It's also another way to manipulate the numbers and stuff and divide the votes, and I think that's probably why it's on there. And as you pointed out, it really hasn't been an issue, and I think it's good the way it stands. So I would ask that we postpone this indefinitely.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
Okay, there's a motion to postpone indefinitely. On the motion to postpone indefinitely, Assemblymember Sykes?
I object.
Okay, if there's any more comments. I've heard objections, so put it on the board.
Assemblymember Doty.
I vote to not support this movement.
Mr. Mayor, it failed with Assemblymember Culligan and Arvin in favor.
Okay. It's back on the table. Mr. Culligan.
And I would like to put forward a motion to extend the comment period to another meeting and allow the public to participate at least. We're not going to do that.
Can I clarify real quick, Mr. Mayor?
Madam Clerk.
To continue the public hearing, the next time we could do it would be June 16th. It wouldn't be next week because the public hearing notice is already published, so it would be June 16th.
Point of clarification.
On date?
No, on if we do not approve this, if there's not runoffs, then the standard is any amount of votes, no matter the candidates, carries the day. That's
Okay.
One with the most votes, but that's not to the motion on the floor. Right now it's to postpone time certain June 16th.
To continue the public hearing to June 16th.
Continue. Well, we already closed the public hearing.
The body can reopen the public hearing,
okay.
Mr. Mayor.
So this would do that?
Yes.
Okay. So, is there objection to that? Just one objection. So put it on the board for postponing, continuing the public hearing to June 16th.
Assemblymember Doty.
I vote in support. In support.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Mayfield and Beck opposed.
Okay. That brings us to Ordinance 15070. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance adopting MSB 3.04083, whereby a mayoral veto of expenditures results in a corresponding reduction in the real property tax mill rate.
Okay, this too is a public hearing, and nobody has signed up. Does anybody want to speak to that? Please come forward, state your name.
I almost guess you can guess what I'm going to ask, but this is a budget thing. My name is Eugene Carl Haveman. I represent myself. I follow the public process. And on the item of ordinance serial number 15-07, as I said, there's two items. The most concerning of the governing body, one is certification of elections, the other one is dealing with the budget. I would strongly encourage you to have two public hearings on this thing, especially at a time with the budget coming on right now. There's a lot of confusion in what's going on. Give the public a chance to be engaged. And I would strongly do the same thing as you've done with the previous one. And I would strongly encourage you not to just say we closed public hearing as you did with the previous one and then they had a vote. Simply see and get the direction of saying, is there any objection to closing public hearing? Okay, and that's what should have happened previously instead of going through the whole loop. But I would encourage you to get the public more engaged, hear from the public before you vote on this particular item. Thank you, and that's all I have to say, and I wish I could have a credit of 1 minute 56 seconds. Thank you.
You always get credit. Anybody else? We'll close the public hearing, bring it back to the Deputy Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt ordinance serial number 15-070, and I would like a little explanation by somebody.
Mr. Spropoulos, I think you brought this forward as a follow through on a threat a year ago.
Something like that. So if somebody remembers, I actually brought this up before the first, actually probably before the budget was introduced this year. So in prior years, when the mayor has issued vetoes on appropriation items, because state law grants the mayor the power to strike or reduce appropriation items, the question always becomes, well, what does that do with the mill rate? And the answer is nothing, because the mayor has the power to strike or reduce appropriation items. Over several years, whenever that explanation is given, I've had several different assembly members and mayors ask questions about it, and the kind of uniform consensus is that doesn't seem right. At least if there's a veto and the money's not being spent, maybe some tax relief should be granted. Again, I brought this up before the budget process started, before the budget books were done. I understand, you know, this year with all the with the mill rate and everybody's been focused on that. But when I brought that up, this assembly, everyone here unanimously said, yes, bring forward that ordinance. This is that ordinance. And what this ordinance will do is, if a mayoral veto stands, it will automatically reduce the mill rate as a matter of borough code, even though that's not found in state law. And it's a mathematical formula. The finance department knows that when you have an area-wide expenditure, it's off of the area-wide fund. If you have a non-area-wide expenditure, it's off the non-area-wide fund. The service area's expenditures come off service area funds. So if the mayor strikes or reduces an appropriation item, if this ordinance passes, it will automatically reduce the mill rate by a concurrent amount in the annual budget.
Thank you. Assemblymember Halter.
Well, I'm opposed to this ordinance. I understand
that principle, but the appropriation that was made was usually made by the Assembly after a considerable amount of debate during the budget process. If a veto does come through, and I guess it's not overridden, that money would still be available for appropriation. We've had instances in this budget where money was taken from a project and was funded to another thing, block grant. So if there is a veto sustained or your veto is upheld, that money would probably go back to that project. So I understand what the attorney's saying, but I don't like this ordinance. I'm going to vote against it. I guess it's a simple way to put it.
Anybody else? Assemblymember Sykes?
Well, I intellectually agree with the intent, but we have a reality that the borough has been doing for 7 or 8 years, maybe even longer, and that is overspending the budget by, on average, like $10 million a year. And the only reason that we've been able to survive is that we've rolled that money back into the budget from the previous year. Now, during this past year, we've taken actions that will reduce our revenue about $5.5 million. The two and a half of that is going to take some time, a couple of years, to actually reduce that. But so we're reducing. We'd continue to reduce our revenue streams, and in this case, it would be with a veto. But in reality, it doesn't really make any difference, because if there are funds left over that get reappropriated, the excess funds are rolled into the next year's budget. And so I think that this is actually something that's not needed. I did a spreadsheet from 2010 to 2014. There have only been 7 vetoes. There were no vetoes in 2012. And so if you take the 4-year average of the years in which there were vetoes, it's about it's less than $250,000. And since that's a significant amount of the $10 million that usually gets rolled in, I would say that since we do carefully consider the budget, we should not make this automatic thing, because you can keep making laws to make things happen automatically, but we are in a situation, I believe, where we have to make the wisest use of the money that we have, and if the revenue simply isn't available for that year, I think that's not always the best course. So on one hand, I understand the intent, and it sounds good, but I don't think I can support this the way it is. Thank you.
Further discussion? Is there objection? I've heard objections, so put it on the board for ordinance 15070.
This is Assemblyperson Doty. I vote no.
Thank you. I was just getting ready to ask. Mr. Mayor, it failed unanimously.
Wow. Unanimous discontent. That brings us to Ordinance 15071.
An ordinance amending MSB 3.15035C, optional exemptions, changing business inventory tax.
This is a public hearing. Does anybody wish to speak to this? Nobody signed up. Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Sykes.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance serial number 15-071.
You want to speak to it?
Sure. The purpose in my bringing this back was, I think our original intent, I don't know if I was on the assembly before we raised the limit from $250,000 to $1 million. I think the intent was the idea that more like warehouses would locate here or something. if we didn't have the business inventory tax, but I've looked for evidence to see if that's really happening, and I can't detect it. And so, again, we are now in the process of shifting a greater burden onto fewer property tax owners proportionally, and I am suggesting, actually, that we reduce this to 100,000. Now, it was at 250 before we raised it, but if you read the IM, this if it goes down to 100,000, where the limit is, instead of its current million, it would raise about an additional $950,000 of revenue. It would raise about another $700,000 where it was at 250, which really should be the minimum. And it was a very successful tax. There was not much grumbling about people paying for it. And the municipality of Anchorage has their level at 25,000. So ours is still very generous at those higher levels. And so if you don't want to lower it to 100,000, I can understand that, but let's at least put it back to where it was, because I believe that we are going to face some very tough economic times next year, and we have to start preparing for them. It's that simple, and that's why I brought it forward for your consideration.
Okay. Assemblymember Culligan.
Yeah, I think this takes a little bit of revisit down the golden path here from years ago when we've had this discussion, and we eliminated several taxes that I wish in business I could count all my top line revenue and not have to account for any of my expenses, because life would be good, everything would be profit. We've had several taxes in the borough that cost us more to collect than we actually produced in taxes. We got rid of those, even though we like to tax rich people with airplanes and all those nefarious things, you know, perceptions. In this case, we call our business inventory tax a voluntary tax. And in Anchorage, I'm actually married to a lady who was an auditor in Anchorage municipality for 13 years, and they have a very rigid process. And when you turn in your taxes or statement for inventory, which is mandatory, whether you have a dollar or you have $100 million of inventory, you sign at the bottom line and certify. So when you go out and audit and it's found incorrect, you're liable for the difference. When we had it $100,000 or $250,000, it was kind of humorous because we didn't really know which all business inventory. We just had a voluntary tax. And Kenai, at least they have a process, and they publish in the paper all the people that do participate, because all their neighbors and other businesses turn them in. We in the past haven't even done that. So, of course, we have all the top-line revenue, but we really haven't looked at the overhead in finance that it really takes to be fair to all the businesses. At $1 million, it's fairly easy because it's just the major department stores. And on the one hand, you want them to carry inventory, and, you know, if there's an emergency, they have a certain amount of inventory they capture and keep rather than emptying their shelves at certain times of the year for things. There's all sorts of different implications, and I sure don't want to talk about this and finish it up tonight. But if we're going to do this, finance needs to come forward with an actual cost, an actual process where people sign and certify. For a small business, it doesn't matter keeping track of whatever size inventory. You have to put together some kind of inventory management to be able to report. And in Anchorage, as an officer, I have an office in Anchorage, we report over $25,000 and we sign. And if and when they come and audit, they look at that. And here we have nothing. It's a voluntary tax, which from years ago, the reason I wanted to raise it or get rid of it is because I just can't believe in the thought of a voluntary tax. And there was plenty of questions about the car dealers. Certain car dealers reported, certain others didn't. Questions about how it applied to different types of inventory. And I just know that we weren't adequately accounting for that and the like. And I think that's the other side of this question. And I think it's great that we might get $1 million of revenue, and some of the public may not know instantaneously, but on the other hand, if we're going to have it, it needs to be done correctly, needs to be managed correctly and reported correctly, and the business community knows that they're being treated fairly and that there's some process in place rather than an arbitrarily voluntary system. I would ask to postpone this until a meeting in August or something when the community has time to respond, or postpone it indefinitely. But I think just for discussion, I think the discussion needs to take place. And I think our finance manager needs to be directed to actually come up with a plan if we're going to have a discussion of how, what, and what resources would be necessary within this budget. But we've never had the staff internally. Our assessment department was trying to keep up with their regular property assessments, much less business inventory, and so it was considered voluntary. And whatever we got in the door was like magic from heaven.
Okay, there's a motion to postpone. Madam Clerk, what would be the date in August?
There's August 4th and August 18th, Mr. Mayor.
August 4th. Motion to postpone, time certain, August 4th. Assemblymember Halter.
I don't object to the postponement at all. I'd like to move to amend from 100,000 exemption to 250,000 exemption, which was our original, just for the...
Yeah,
well, discuss it at.
You can do it on August 2nd.
Can't do it now?
No.
August 4th. Can you withdraw your motion for a few minutes?
Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to speak in favor of the motion to postpone to August 4th because I agree with the need to discuss some of the concerns that Assemblymember Culligan has raised. And I would also add to the list of concerns that he had of exactly how many businesses are involved in the different categories. If we tax at our current rate, a million, how many businesses are paying that tax, how many were paying at the 250 level, and how many would be estimated to pay it at 100, because my impression is there's not very many businesses even paying at the 250K level. So I think we should have that discussion, and I look forward to it on August 4th if Mr. Culligan's amendment passes.
Is there objection to postponement? I don't hear anything, so that will be taken up on August 4th. So do we want to take a break before audience participation? I heard yes and no, so we'll go with yes. We'll be back at 5 after. And we're going to start the audience participation with Mr. Mike Shields, followed by Clarence Hirschbach.
My name is Mike Shields. I'm here representing the Road Service Area Advisory Board, as well as my own RSA, and I'm speaking to Ordinance 15061, which is a repeal of the vehicle tax elimination. We've already passed two resolutions from the RSA board opposing this, and all I want to say tonight is in 2016, using the figures that were actually used in the amendment that talked about distribution of that funding, we get a one-time reduction in RSA maintenance funding of 27% and in dust control of 30%. And the ordinance as it stands establishes a reserve account funded by those reductions. So we're taking money away from one pot, sticking it in another pot. The estimated dust control reserve is funded by those reductions. In 2017, that reserve increases to $1.4 million. That increase comes from elimination of the distributions to area-wide and non-area-wide activities, which were never specified. In 2018, the reserve begins to decline by 19% as the lack of a continuing fund source becomes apparent. The fund is essentially spending more than it takes in. By 2023, the reserve ceases to exist, and the dust control operational funding declines by 46%, and in 2024, all dust control funding ceases to exist, but the imbalance between funding and revenue, or what's supposed to be funded in revenue, continues in there. So I'm sort of interested in what the impacts are going to be to road service areas, fire service areas, et cetera, down the line. Bottom line for us, it seems to me that we're kind of like a farmer who sells both his main crop and his seed crop, and the end result must be no crop in the future. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Clarence, followed by Mac. Is that Ms. McCain? Clarence here? Oh, okay.
Bear with me, somewhat hoarse tonight, so I have a bit of trouble speaking here. I desire to speak on the LID.
Now state your name for the record, please.
Oh, my name is Clarence Hirschbeck, and I'm here to speak on the LID special assessment role, which has been developed. This is continuing. I was out of town at the first time, and I don't know if public comments have been closed on that or not. Can I go forward now?
You have 3 minutes to talk about anything civil.
Okay. On April 10, 2015, I submitted a letter objecting to the proposed special assessment role for LID 508 as it pertains to Lot 3A, Block 3, Marion Lake Estates, Edition Number 1. It is on the proposed assessment role as two lots, Lot 3 and 4, Block 3, Marion Lake Estates, Edition Number 1, which no longer exist. As this letter should be on your in your packet, I won't read it here and move on to a brief summary. But as of the last meeting several weeks ago, my letter wasn't in the packet. If the letter is not in your packet, I would ask that you read it before voting on this issue, because it's a unique issue to me. I won't tell you to read the letter here, as it should be available to you elsewhere. The parcel in question, Lot 3A, pertinent to my appeal, was once described as two lots, Lot 3 and 4, Block 3, Marion Lake Estates, Edition Number 1. But has always been developed and utilized as a single lot with a single house for the last 29 years. It has now been replatted to be legally described as a single lot and is so described and taxed as such by the Borough Finance Department. I do not object to the single lot, Lot 3A, with a single house thereon to be included on the special assessment roll for the LID, but I do object to being assessed for two other lots which no longer exist. It is my belief that to be assessed, you must receive some benefit as a result of such assessment, and I fail to see how paying assessment fees for two lots that don't exist and can never exist can possibly benefit me in any way. Thank you. I'll answer any questions.
You know, I'm not sure, but I think that is already done. But if you go back to the back table on the left back there and talk to Cheyenne, she'll be able to tell you the status of that LID.
It's coming up further on the agenda.
Oh, it's still coming?
Yes.
Today? Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I don't know why I couldn't see that.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have Mac McCain, followed by Herman the German.
I'll correct my name. It's Malcolm McCone, and I'm not related to Lucas McCain. But anyway, I'm here to, I wrote a letter to the borough April 3rd, and the last meeting, I believe, was April 21st. I was out of state. It's on the LID for lots within Marion Lake Estates, Lot 10, owned by several of us in that area, Bittasolo's, myself, several others, that do not benefit because there is a deed restriction that these lots cannot be developed. There is also no way there can be a septic system on them or anything. They're totally not developable lots, and we are being assessed at a full rate, which is nearly twice the assessed value that the borough puts on these lots for this for the natural gas. So I guess what I'm asking is that these lots be reconsidered. It's about $20,000. It would be a redistribution of the valuation, which would be the only fair thing in my mind, and that's what I stated in my letter April 3rd, that it would be totally, in my mind, unfair to try to put this burden on the people who own these lots for the natural gas line. I'm lot 10. Brian Siebold is lot 9. Richard Bittasola has lot 8 and lot 7. Anyway, I'm asking that these be reconsidered for redetermination for this determination as a basically a hardship to us to basically pay twice what the lot value is worth for this, and we can't even benefit from it. So if you have any questions, you can ask me. I didn't see a copy of my letter, and I would like, if there's not a copy there, I'd like for the for it to be read, April 3rd letter.
I think you'll be pleased to know that your business has been taken care of when it comes up. It's a pending amendment that will take it completely out.
Okay, I appreciate that very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We've got Herman, followed by Randall Kowalki.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, assembly members, and hardworking staff. My name is Herman Spiegel. Been living in Willow for a long time. And I just want to come back to the subject of the mill rate increase that's been proposed. Talking to some knowledgeable people and about the assembly and so on, I had expressed the hope that we'd have enough assemblymen to not override the veto of the mayor. And I read here that the mayor didn't really veto the 275 mill rate. He only implored all of you to reconsider it because it's unreasonable. It's a 105% increase. And so I would join the mayor in imploring you to reconsider that veto. People told me, Herman, you're wasting your time because the assemblymen all the assembly people are not going to vote against each other. They all have their projects and they help each other out. So it's really useless for you to come out and argue differently. You know? Once Assemblyman Halter says it's 275, all the other assemblymen are going to agree to it because when they have a pet project, they're going to support them. Well, with due respect, it's already 1:30. Assemblyman Halter, you're a lame duck, assemblyman. And the way the 275 came about, it seems to be willy-nilly one man can increase our taxes by, you know, 1.4 without the voter having any say about it. I'm not alone. I submitted 250 signatures of voters in Willow. That's 1/3 of the voting public in Willow that says we don't want that increase in 1 year. Please compromise and do it over a number of years. And that's what I'm asking you, the assembly, today. You know, listen to the people. Listen to the taxpayers. There are a lot of people opposed to that. I know there are some that are for it, sure. But a lot of them are opposed to it, too, and a lot more are opposed to it. Let's do it more slowly. There is no need to go 105% in 1 year. Let's do it over a number of years. That's pretty well all I have to say. There are a number of questions about the fire department. I have confidence in the new fire chief, and I'll discuss that with him. Thank you.
Thank you. Randall, followed by Tom Eidelman.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Mayor, Assembly, Madam Clerk, Manager, and Mr. Attorney, and especially to lame duck Assemblyman Halter. I'm here to speak to the mayor's veto letter, and I certainly respect...
State your name.
Oh, Randall Kowalki. And I certainly respect when I write a letter, I like to put my opinions in them, and I expect your right to do the same. The reason I'm speaking this evening is veto item number 7 was either a gross misunderstanding or error. At the time, the $600,000 was being granted by the legislature. I was talking to folks in the originator's office, Senator Dunleavy's office. It was clearly understood that there was borough property available and that the cost to do the project that we needed done with the water storage was $600,000. There are members here from the fire department who recall that, as well as Director Gamble, who was back here. And we're aware of those facts, so I'd like you to confirm that with them. But what we understood then later was at a meeting that I was in attendance that land had been accidentally sold that we were to put our fire station on. Then a discussion was entered with the possibility, well, is there anything we could do if we left the water storage out? Could we borrow some of that money from the construction and get the building? And then the whole grant story came up about how it could be sliced, diced, and possibly reworked prior to the time we found out that we could get a loan from the assembly, which was passed 7-0, buy the land and build the proper building. So I take factual exception with veto item number 7. Thank you.
Thank you. Eugene? No, Tom... Followed by Eugene. Tom Eidelman.
My name is Tom Eidelman, and I'm here to speak on the ordinance number 15-061. I'm adamantly opposed to this, and I think the majority of the people would be too. First of all, when you buy your tags, they tack $25 on the end of it, but you have to buy 2 years of registration, and so you have to have your vehicle for 2 years before your free tags even begin, money-wise. So why do we need to try something like this so soon? You have no idea what the financials are going to be. And another question is, how many people keep their car for 4 years? Before you have to drive that vehicle for 4 years before you saved one registration fee. How many people keep the same vehicle for 4 years? I do too, but I'm an oddball. I mean, look at all the people driving new cars around. So I don't see the logic in it. It's going to be 2 years down the road before you even know whether you're saving money or not. And you've got all those $25 tacked on that you get to keep, too. And when you sell the rig, let's say you keep the car for a year and a half and sell it to someone else, and it's got 6 months left on it, well, he can ride that for 6 months. Then he's got to buy another 2 years and tack the $25 on the end. I think it's unreasonable to even consider doing this, especially now. And an earlier speaker said that the senior population is growing rapidly out here. We're the ones that it hurts the most. Are you planning to take away our permanent, you know, we get one vehicle free? You're going to take that away from us too? I'm on a fixed income. I can't, you know, you cut me a little slack and then you want to snatch it away on the idea of making more revenue. I don't think it's going to be hardly a drop in the bucket compared to all the property taxes that have increased. Driving around now, you see hundreds of construction sites. It's gone from raw land, which is not much, to $500,000 properties here and here and here. God knows how many there is. you guys are probably rolling in more money you've ever seen before. Because there's a heck of a lot more structures around now than there was then, or a few years ago. So it just makes no living sense to me at all. And if you pass this, the first thing we're going to do is start a petition drive and let the people decide what to do. We'll get it on the next ballot. I think it'll cause a firestorm is what I think it'll do. And that's about all I have for the moment.
Thank you. Eugene, followed by Neil Moss.
My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I represent myself. I follow public process. The public process done appropriately and the decision made by the governing body is more likely in the public interest. Tonight, we have here vetoes by the mayor. I'm not questioning the idea of the veto and the mayor, the right to veto. What I am concerned is the public process. Sometime after, roughly at 20 after 4, this was placed in the room for the public. Where was the public engaged beforehand so they could examine it? This is not appropriate notice. I realize that it's been told that the mayor, all he has to do is have it provided before the beginning of a meeting. But the public, where's the public? How are you supposed to hear from the public? How is the mayor supposed to hear from the public on this thing? Those who regularly attend the meeting were more likely to catch it. But even if they're here, how can they digest it, have time to digest the information? I'd also like to point out is, look at this document. Is this a formal signed statement by the mayor and a veto? The mayor's name is not on here. What is this? This is not what you do for a veto message or any message to a statement from anybody. You have a statement, a date, time, a date, and so forth. This is totally inappropriate. I don't know what's going on, but, and please correct me, I make mistakes too, but we got a situation now is, I guess, and please correct me, you have to decide on this veto, and you're forced to tonight. You have no other choice, but this is wrong, but you have no other choice. The situation has been set up. The codes need to be changed so this does not happen again. The mayor should be having the opportunity to examine the budget and make choices and have the right to veto. I'm not questioning it. But the idea of engaging the public, you hearing from the public before you make a decision, everybody have an opportunity to examine this. This was not done. So you also need to change the code. So this time situation doesn't happen again. And a footnote, last year, if I'm correct, from before, this didn't happen last minute. There was a couple of days before that mayor veto message came out, so the public had some time before that. And that is my statement. Thank you.
Thank you. Neil, followed by Helen Minos.
My name is Neil Moss. I originally came here tonight to thank the Assembly for having the foresight to make available a sum of money to the youth of Alaska for a shooting range. I understand now that there's been some change of heart on the issue. So I guess I'd like to, you know, we had quite a lengthy meeting about this maybe a month and a half ago. I don't think it's any secret to anybody in this room or up there what my feelings are on this subject. I understand there's some people think that we're going to be in competition with existing facilities. That's not the intent of the property or the program at all. We don't shoot now at the local facility because it's too expensive. The overwhelming majority of the youth shooters in Alaska drive to Birchwood to shoot. That's a fact. You have before you now a list of the prices for the different facilities and what we hope the price would be if we have our own piece of property. Again, we're not here to compete with anybody. This is a training facility for kids so they can go to the existing facilities and compete. And when they go outside, they compete on a level field with kids that are shooting for far less money than it costs to shoot in Alaska. I mean, I can tell stories of going outside and losing to teams by one or two, three, four birds, clay targets. Have you kids that shoot 700, 800, 1,000 targets a week? Our kids shoot 50. We lose to them by four birds. The kids in the valley and the rest of the state need a facility of their own and a less expensive place to shoot. And unless you have any questions, pretty much all I have to say. I would like just everybody to consider their vote and do something for the kids in Alaska and the valley. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Assemblymember Sykes.
Yes, thank you for coming forward, Mr. Moss. One thing I haven't understood is, what does it take your organization? How much money have you been raising to shoot every year to get your kids to the competitions they do now?
I don't have a number off the top of my head. It's
ballpark?
We receive money from an organization called Midway USA to the tune of over $100,000 a year. And that money goes into endowment accounts that each team in the state has with Midway. This is really convoluted. They give us the money, we turn around and give it back to them. It goes into endowment accounts that each team, it's basically a trust fund for that team that's going to outlive everybody in this room. That trust fund's going to go on forever. The kids can draw 5% of that trust fund a year. We also receive money from the Friends of the NRA to buy ammunition and targets. We receive money from the Rough Grouse Society, the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, the Mule Deer Foundation, the Wild Turkey Federation. There's probably a couple I'm forgetting, but we raise thousands and thousands of dollars, and we spend it on targets and shells, and some of it on travel to go outside, and some of it teams in the in southeast to travel up here for our state championship or to some of our competitions up here. We just had the Junior Olympics up here. We had teams up here from Juneau and Sitka that came up for the Junior Olympics. There's only 18 Junior Olympic qualifying matches in the state. One of them is here in Alaska. But it costs money for these kids to get to it. So the less money they have to spend on targets and training here, the more money they have to compete on the world stage.
Well, I guess I'm just trying to get a fix because, quite honestly, I went to, after we finished the budget on Wednesday night, I went to the community council meeting in South Connect River.
I'm having trouble hearing you.
I went to the community council meeting in South Connect River, and somebody there raised the issue of, so the borough is crying the blues about being on hard times, and here you are giving government money to a private group to buy land. And I said, yeah, that's kind of the way it is. And so you didn't ask for this money, and you have had applications in which we have never had a chance to vote on for other places, and so I'm just kind of searching for the justification, and if you are able to raise money and get what you need done, then I'm trying to evaluate the need here.
The money that we've raised in the past has been spent. There's no bank account sitting there full of money to go buy a piece of property with. This idea, I understood, came from the assembly. We did have an application in for a piece of property, and we had one in earlier for another piece of property that you did vote against. Oh, yes, we were all in this room together, and you voted against the piece of property in Big Lake. Now we have an application for another piece of property, but because this idea came forward to give us some money instead of the property, that's why we're here tonight. That's why I'm here tonight. Again, it was just my main reason to come here was to say thank you for your foresight in doing something for the youth of this community. And now, again, I hear there's been some change of heart. So I'm hoping that you know, this borough spends a lot of money on youth activities, football fields and hockey fields and track and field and you name it. There's all kinds of sports. We're asking for a one-time deal. Give us a place for the kids in Alaska to shoot. It's not, we're not going to ask for any more. The borough is not going to have to continually fund it. All they have to do is make a piece of property available, one way or another.
Did that answer your question, Mr. Sykes? And I think that most of us had no problem with the property. That's one reason we have property, is to help worthy causes. But dishing out tax dollars is a different story. Assemblymember Arvin, you want to continue?
Thank you. Yeah, so there's been, subsequent to the action that was taken a few days ago, there's been some email traffic flying around that has had all kinds of interesting allegations. One of them is that you and your coaches get paid. Can you set the record straight on what your organization and the leadership does for the kids with respect to compensation?
Absolutely nobody in this organization receives any money, not one dime. It's all volunteers. It's all for the kids. And if you're not in it for the kids, you're in the wrong organization, because there's no compensation. There's no money.
Assemblymember Beck? No, Assemblymember Culligan.
Yeah, I'd like to ask a question. I think I know the answer, but I'd like to hear it from your mouth. So I sit on the board for Safari Club, not because I'm a Safari Club hunter, but just because I sit on the SCI board, and not because I'm a Safari Club hunter, just because they're the organization in the state that's hunter education and support all sorts of different organizations, and indirectly, through the Friends of NRA, money, I think, makes it your way. But I think there's another component that's missed here. So on the one hand, a brewer can give property, et cetera. On the other hand, by giving money, it allows you guys to leverage those dollars with other dollars for range design from the NRA and other organizations and the like. And I was hoping maybe you could touch on that. It's not, this is the only money and in-kind and stuff. There's other leverage things that this provides you that just giving property and stuff may or may not. And I just like you to explain that and so we can consider that.
Well, I'm not an expert on the subject because we don't have any property right now. I haven't pursued it beyond. I know that there are funds available from the NRA. I'm not sure about SCI. I know SCI supports our program. They support the Soldotna team quite heavily. They support the Outdoor Heritage Foundation, which supports the Anchorage team. There are funds available from the NRA, but they have to be applied for. But you can't apply for them until you have somewhere to spend them. You have to have the property. They won't buy a piece of property. They will come up and help develop a piece of property, but you have to have it in hand first.
Thank you. And please understand, nobody has anything against your organization. It's a great program. Thanks for your testimony.
Then please. Well, do something for the kids in Alaska. You're not doing
right.
It for me.
Well, we've got to.
I'm just their mouthpiece.
There's a
Thank
lot.
You.
There's a lot of them. Ms. Minos, followed by Roberta Lewis.
My name is Helen Minos. Mr. Manager, Mayor, and Borough Assembly people. Well, this big mouth has been here for 43 years. And I enjoyed listening to this gentleman, but after 10 years of effort, there's personal finance required in ninth grade in our school system. And Mr. Dunleavy was on our school board, never got it done. And the credit union, I was honored by the Credit Union League of Alaska, and it's spreading all over the state. And Mat Valley Credit Union has had a hand in that, so I'm proud of that. The other thing is I understand that our our facility for septage in this borough is finally seeing maybe some headway in a better before I die. Because I just realized that the leachate from our solid waste landfill is going out to Point McKenzie. And it's evidently, I don't care what your process is or anything else. And also this on the bio, on farmland. This has been in the offing. I've been in the septic tank business in New York before I ever came here. There are some climates, and we were considered an Arctic thing, and this has been before everybody for a long time. And I'd agree with Canada to do a lot more research before it's put on farmland. But I want to see that facility, and I'll tell you, I was down in Juneau, and I spoke to the district commissioner of DEC and the man that holds the packet strings for a 1% loan to get the facility built. And I was down there on the Mat Valley Credit Union's dime, but I got up to Capitol Hill. And I did meet with the governor the other day. I'm determined. If we can't take care of our own septage, I get a big kick out of all the grandiose ideas, and the money is tight now. It should have been done when I first got here. There were only 9,000 people in this borough when I moved here in 1972 from a suburb 30 miles from New York City, and I've been up to you know what as a business, private business, all my life, up to my neck in it. And I was thinking that, and it's the second time around for me, I sit up on that podium now, and the DEC, you know, I get a kick out of everything that goes on. It's like, God forgive me, buying a ferry and we don't get along with Anchorage to have a port to dock the bloody thing in. I mean, where is common sense? Or am I too old to have it anymore? And I am tired of sitting in this chamber and going through 10 borough assemblies for something nobody wants to talk about. They want to build big houses, and then you're going to ask your neighbor to use their bathroom the rest of your life? With Anchorage over 300,000 population now, and me coming from Long Island Sound, 30 miles from it, New York, I'm not talking through my hat. Thank you.
Thank you. And you need to do some more research on that leachate, because it's not going to Point McKenzie.
It's being processed and everything else.
Roberta Lewis, followed by Gail Just.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Assembly people and the staff. My name is Roberta Lewis, and I'm here to talk about the Willow Fire mill rate again. I want to compliment the mayor on his attention to the words that have been spoken in regard to what the property owners in Willow are thinking these days. We didn't realize that we needed to think about this, but now we do. If you're reading this, page 2 of 2 of the mayoral vetoes, this is the way I'm thinking about it also. I just want to add, with 5 new fire stations to support, if all of this goes through what they would like to do at one time in 1 year, there will be no end to the request for additional mill rate increases to keep up with the expenses that this is going to incur. Let us get one thing finished and manned. That's a big problem in Willow, is getting these stations manned and trained. And I understand that Mr. Green, the new fire chief, is working very diligently to bring this around, but it's going to take some time. And so let's just do one project at a time and then move and get it all manned and moving successfully and well, and then do another one. So I'm requesting you to reconsider and place the mill rate at 1.84 with a chance for the Willow voters to vote in the fall on an additional to this mill rate of 184. Thank you.
Thank you. Gail, followed by Patricia, Rosnell, and if anybody else wants to speak, please sign up.
Good evening. I'm Gail Jess from Willow. I would like to have everyone check page 2 of 2, the second paragraph, when the mayor allegedly wrote this letter, when it says, "When I came to office in 2012, a war was raging in Willow over the fire service area mill rate." Well, I've been in Willow probably about 12 years, and I had no idea any war was raging in the fire department. However, I was nominated to come for a meeting with you, Mr. Mayor, in the spring of 2012, and I was nominated for a fire board position. I did interview you. I explained to you that I am a retired state trooper from New Jersey. I worked there for 20 years. I told you that my father was a volunteer fire department in New Jersey for 40 years. My one son is a fireman, a paid fireman in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and my other son also went through the fire school here in Alaska. What I also told you is that I had no firsthand experience in what the fire board did or does, but I was willing to give it a shot and that I was very open to all conversations of any sort regarding any issues that were going on, and I knew of no issues that were going on there. So I had a conversation with you, and then shortly thereafter I returned to Willow, and it is at that point that I immediately went to my computer and I sent you an email, and I sent it to John Hoosey, saying that I was approached by a person on the fire board who said this: "Hey, listen, when you get that position, you're going to vote my way. I'll tell you how to vote. You don't have to know anything. You just vote the way I want you to vote. I want so-and-so not here on the board. I want so-and-so never back on the board. And in a few short months, you'll be removed from the board, and another person will take your place, and that person will do exactly what I want him to do because he knows that's how it's going to be." Well, when I heard this, I was shocked. I said, "Hey, I'm going to write the mayor right away and tell him this is what's going on, because something is inappropriate," would be a similar word. I can think of others, but I don't think you want to hear them. "Inappropriate that this conversation would even be occurring by somebody who was actively on the fire board at that time." So I wrote to you. I heard nothing from you. I did hear from Mr. Moosey, who said, "I'll check into it." And until recently, about a few months ago, I sent you that letter again. I sent Mr. Moosey that letter again, and I sent the attorney that letter again. And just so you know, when you said that something is amiss in Willow, it certainly was and is. Thank you.
Thank you. Patricia, followed by Margie Kirby.
My name is Patricia Rosnell, and I would like to support the mayor's vetoes in the social service programs. I agree with the mayor's statement that these programs are not formalized in code. And although there may be very good purposes, I think this revolves around the point of them dealing with public funds. Public funds, accountability, and in fact, accessibility equally to all programs that might want to apply and go through a formal process. I believe there's some maybe unrelated logic in terms of the city grants for the libraries. However, if I'm going to hold to my my statement, I would say that even these need to go into a formal process. And I hope this concern with the code is a harbinger of more assembly and mayoral attention to code code compliance and maybe code straightening out and tightening up. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Lee Renfro or Kenfro? No, Marjorie Kirby is first, followed by Lee. And then that's it.
Hi. Hello, I'm Margie Kirby. I'm from the Sutton community. I'm here tonight to say that I support the mayor's veto of number two. I've emailed each of you within the last day regarding this. This is kind of difficult for me. I am very supportive of the shooting sports programs. Alaska Scholastic Clay Target Program, my daughter started in that last year, and she learned a great deal. This is her second year. She's shooting on a different team. But this was our first year involved in the sport and in the discipline, and I have a great respect and just awe about what these kids can do. So I'm very supportive of shooting sports. This past year, my son was able to shoot with the team as well. So we have two kids on the team. And it's been very, very good for them in many different ways. I just do not support the tax dollars going to this. We already have a couple of different facilities that are within driving distance. My daughter trains at Grouse Ridge, and I think it's an excellent facility. And I think that if our borough already has those resources available, then they should be used. It was used in the past, and I just think it could still be used. I think that our borough needs to fund the needs and not desires. And we have a lot of needs that really impact people. That sounds like we're having a difficult time funding. So we have the resources. Let's use what we have here in the valley. Thank you.
Thank you. Lee?
My name is Lee Renfrew. I also support the borough or the mayor's veto of the Alaska SCTP money. I've been youth coaching here in the valley for at least 15 years. We are about the only sport out there that has private enterprise behind us. We're given grants. We have endowment money. All the sporting goods show stores back us. If you say you're there for a youth shooter, they're there to give you a discount, do whatever they can. The borough needs its money for its needs. We don't need another private range. I have trained shooters that are now nationally recognized. It is cheaper to shoot outside than it is to shoot here. But it's more expensive to live here. They don't make the wages we do. The children that come into our program here in the valley pay the same rate that the students pay shooting at Anchorage at the state-run facility. We're not hurting. It is an expensive sport. But my son playing hockey is way over what it costs these kids to shoot. We don't offer any other sport. This, they don't need their, we don't need our own range. We don't offer them this kind of ideal where they need to be alone. One of the things these students learn is to shoot and talk with adults. their peers. They learn language. They learn how to act. We don't want to separate them. They have to go outside if they're going to go on with the shooting and go to college on a scholarship. But they do that now. We don't have to put them in a private facility. I appreciate what all of you do, but you've pledged to give thoughtfulness and responsibility in representing us and in spending all of our money. And this isn't the way to do it. It's simply not necessary. And I thank you.
Thank you. Is that it? We'll close the public hearing. Did you have a audience participation, Mr. Sykes?
No, I just have something before the next agenda item.
Okay, well, I'm going to close the public hearing or the audience participation and bring it back to the consent agenda. You had intentions on that?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to remove item 1A, resolution serial number 15052.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, Madam Clerk, you got the rest of the consent agenda.
AM number 15062, approval of a contract amendment for purchase order number 2015-2788 with Madanuska Telephone Association in the amount of $396,954 for the Big Lake Intersection Improvement Utility Relocation Project number 35404. AM 15063, assembly approval for the manager to enter in a purchase agreement with the owner of Tract 4 Nancy Lake Marina Subdivision, MSB Tax Parcel 523700T004, to purchase land and the improvements thereon for the Nancy Lake Warm Storage Fire Station 12-6, not to exceed $200,000, MSB 006906. AM 15064, award of proposal number 15107P to BC Excavating LLC in the contract amount of $142,000 for Willow Area Community Center Geothermal Heating System Design Build. AM 15065, award of bid number 15142B to Wharton Commercial LLC in the contract amount of $2,838,995 for heating, ventilation, and air conditioning upgrades at Butte Elementary, Cottonwood Creek Elementary, Finger Lake Elementary, Goose Bay Elementary, Pioneer Peak Elementary, Snowshoe Elementary, Tenina Elementary, and Willow Elementary Schools. AM 15066, vacation of a public rights of way recorded at Book 85, page 85 through 86, Book 94, page 886 through 888, Book 202, pages 583 through 584, Book 203, page 379 to 381, Book 795, page 411 to 416 in South Way, also known as Hank's Circle, and four utility easements dedicated on Hank's subdivision plat number 7261 on the above lying within the proposed Granite Ridge subdivision, section 19, township 18 north, range 2 east, Seward Meridian, Alaska. AM 15067, award of bid number 15124B to Consolidated Enterprises Incorporated in the contract amount of $2,537,860 for roof replacement modifications for Palmer High, Cottonwood Creek Elementary, Palmer Junior Middle, and Pioneer Peak Elementary Schools. AM 15068, approval of contract amendment for purchase order number 2014-4340 to Madanuska Telephone Association in the amount of $208.98 for the Bogard Road Extension East Utility Relocation Project number 35299. AM 15069, approval of contract amendment for purchase order 2014-1773 with Madanuska Telephone Association in the amount of $162,898.13 for the Trunk Road Extension South Project Utility Relocation Project number 35402. And AM 1570, authorization for the manager to submit a grant application to the Alaska State Department of Natural Resources Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation for a Land and Water Conservation Fund grant for acquisition of the Bodenberg Butte Summit.
Thank you. Is there any objection?
Mr. Mayor?
No, Assemblymember Barbin.
I move to approve the consent agenda as read into the record by the clerk.
Yeah, that might be more appropriate before we vote on it. Now, is there any objection? Hearing none. consent agenda passes. Assemblymember Arvin, or Madam Clerk, Resolution 15052.
A resolution to request support from the governor, state legislators, and the Alaska State Department of Environmental Conservation regarding the use of recycled biosolids on borough farmlands.
Thank you. Assemblymember Arvin.
Mr. Mayor, I move resolution serial number 15-052.
Assemblymember Sykes, you pulled this.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wondered why this was on the consent agenda, and I finally realized that all resolutions end up on the consent agenda. But in fact, this particular subject has been an issue of great contention over the past several decades, at least the past two, maybe more. And we're being asked to endorse support for this process on the use of recycled biosolids on borough farmlands. A lot of people don't realize that actually the EPA, the federal EPA, had a naming contest to make sludge, which is what the waste is from sewage, have a better sounding name, and that's biosolids, but it's sludge. And there are some actually very innovative processes that may benefit farms where they take sludge and they extract mainly the phosphates out of it and leave some of the really other heavy metals and poisonous things that come with sludge behind. But I don't believe that we have that capability in this state. And until we actually fully understand this a little better and what it means, I draw your attention to the biosolids on farmland. It kind of encapsulates what's been going on in this discussion for a long time. And there's some serious sides to it. And I implore my fellow assembly members not to support this. At the very least, we need more information than what was provided to us, because it is very controversial, and a lot of people won't touch this stuff. It's a serious issue, and I will not support it, and I urge my fellow colleagues on the assembly to do likewise.
Assemblymember Beck.
Mr. Mayor.
And then Assemblymember Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I spoke with borough resident and farmer Mark Rempel with regards to this issue. He's one of three certified organic farmers in the state of Alaska. And he says that there is some innovative thinking with behind the practice of this with regards to being able to withdraw phosphate from the material than to provide back to people in agriculture than to use for growing. But he says it's not far enough along here in this state where it would help him in any, he would actually be prohibited from doing it as an organic farmer. And I just think this is the perfect kind of issue where once we get it going, and I don't know if we don't have any applications yet or not, or what the deal is for that agriculture committee, probably because we got it going so late and they're all farming right now and don't have time to fill out the application and attend meetings this time of year. But this would be the perfect kind of issue for the Ag Advisory Committee to take a look at and to make recommendations behind, because then they could come here and testify to the matter and to be able to answer questions and issues that have been raised by Assemblymember Sykes and other questions that we have with regards to this. So I don't even know if it's worth postponing at this point, so I'm not going to make the motion. I'll kind of leave it sitting there.
Well, I guess I will speak to it. You're right. This would not qualify for organic ground because it is not a nationally recognized organic substance. However, it's an extremely valuable agricultural nutrient. And I just sent the manager up to bring down a bag. I'm going to open it, invite you to stick your hand in it. It is absolutely sterile. very high pH, which Alaskan soils need. And at this point, it's sounding like if DEC won't allow it to be put on our soils or our fields, that we're going to be filling our landfill with it. So just take a whiff of that.
Mr. Mayor, I think...
Excuse me.
I think Dr. Sykes is right. We don't touch that.
Dr. Doty, and by the way, this has been tested for heavy metals. It's been through the DEC process. And it is being applied from another facility in Kenai, so it's not a taboo thing, but... Okay. Yeah, right. Here, pass it down this way, Mr. Manager. No, nobody wants. Oh, I don't get it.
The clerk needs to keep that for the record.
Keep it on the ether.
Dr. Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. I think that sometimes looks can be deceiving, and I appreciate the effort to recycle and to use a potential biological resource in an effective way. But I do not believe that environmental toxicology is part of the testing for such a product in a very effective way. There are about 50,000 chemicals in our environment, of which we test for about 10,000. That means 40,000 that we're not testing for. If you take a newborn born in Alaska and you test their byproducts, their urine and their feces, or chemicals, you will find 10 to 12 substances present in a newborn because of our environment. I do believe that we should be very cautious in looking at human fecal matter that is being tested for some but not all potential environmental hazards for that fetal development and making it available for our food sources. So I would be opposed to this current resolution, but further research would be at least the minimum that I would support.
Okay. Assemblymember Arvin.
Mr. Mayor, isn't it true that currently there's similar material or the exact same material coming up from the quinine being applied on
agriculture? It's true, and it's also true that the stuff that 20 years ago they could not do anything. It was being shipped all over the high seas because New York couldn't get rid of it. And now they're fighting over it in I think it's Colorado. The proven value of it is indisputable. But I'm not going to dive over this one. Mr. Culligan.
I just wanted to assure the public that it doesn't smell like roses up here. Mr. Mayor, what's your pleasure? I don't think I want to address this tonight, and I'd like to know more about what the real issues are, what's an appropriate time frame or interaction with our ag board. What do you? Could you make a suggestion? I'd be more than happy to make a motion to address it through a different process or a different date when there's more information. We can have a real discussion.
We'll refer it to the ag board. That'll give them their first item of business.
Okay. I'd like to make the motion at the table to refer this to the ag board whenever they meet and come up with some kind of a discussion and suggestion of how we deal with this. And agree with Mr. Sykes, it's not something I want to touch. So, thank you.
Madam Clerk.
We do need a date. However, if I could make a suggestion that you either refer it with a date or you fail it and then request that that be the first item that the ag board look at. That way we have... We're not stuck with no time frame because we have to have a date.
What about how we do it with the Planning Commission, not to exceed 90 days?
We could do that. However, we have nobody on the Ag Board as of right now.
Well, in 90 days, that could change.
That's true, but that's up to the Assembly. We can always bring it back, and you guys can refer it again.
I'll change my motion, and how about if we refer it to the Ag Board in 180 days, and if we need to adjust it, then we'll make some changes. But thank you. Thank you, Mr. Beck.
Okay. There we got a motion. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Thank you. I did not realize this would be that graphic. That brings us to unfinished business. Here, I thought all these were introductions. So, Madam Clerk, Ordinance 15039.
An ordinance placing a moratorium on the acceptance and processing of applications to dispose of fee simple interest of previously disposed borough agricultural property. And, Mr. Mayor, there's a pending amendment on this, and it's actually to refer the ordinance to the Ag Advisory Board and Planning Commission for 120 days.
Wow.
That's the pending in front of the body right now.
Okay. Is there a discussion?
Mr. Mayor, if we're going to refer it to the board, can we make it, I guess, adjust it so it's 180 days like the previous one? And
is there objection to changing it to 180? Okay. That way they can have two items on their agenda. Probably that would be inconsequential, but is there any further discussion? Is there any objection? Okay, that's referred to the Ag Board. Ordinance 15040.
An ordinance confirming the assessment role for the Field of View Park Subdivision Community Assessment Role for the Field of View Park, Field of View Park Subdivision Community Water Local Improvement District Number 476 and establishing the method of terminating assessments and making refund to property owners with accompanying Ordinance 15041. An ordinance providing for the issuance and sale of not to exceed $332,000 principal amount of special assessment bonds for the Field of View Park Subdivision Community Water Local Improvement District Number 476 and fixing details of said bonds.
Thank you. This is already on the table, right?
It is, Mr. Mayor. The main motion's on the table. There's no pending amendments.
Okay. Is there a discussion? Is this yours, Mr. Mayfield? No. So, everybody ready for, is there any objection to it?
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Culligan.
I just wonder if Ms. Doty, Assemblymember Doty has any comments. It's in her district, I believe, or is before we take the vote.
Yeah, Assemblymember Doty, did you have any input on this?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There was quite a lot of discussion, but I don't have a new solution or resolution change, so I would move for acceptance of, at present with Ordinance Number 15040.
So you're speaking in favor of it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. Is there any objection? Hearing none, that passes. And brings us to Ordinance 15042.
An ordinance confirming the assessment role for the South Big Lake Road and West Susitna Parkway Natural Gas Local Improvement District Number 508 and establishing the method of terminating assessments and making refunds to property owners with accompanying Ordinance 15043. An ordinance providing for the issuance and sale of not to exceed $867,000 principal amount of special assessment bonds for the Big Lake Road and West Susitna Parkway Natural Gas Local Improvement District Number 508 and fixing details of said bonds. And, Mr. Mayor, there's also a pending amendment on this piece of legislation. If you would like me to read that into the record.
Please do.
To strike from the assessment roll Exhibit A the following properties: Lot 7, Richard Bill DeSolo; Lot 8, Brian Siebold; Lot 9, Richard Bill DeSolo; and Lot 10, Malcolm McCone. The assessment will remain the same for the remaining property owners of $4,893.90, with the borough assuming the financial liability in the amount of $19,575.60.
Thank you. Assemblymember Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I actually have an amendment here, and then we'll talk about this, I'm sure, in some detail. The amendment is to include, as far as excluded properties, Lot 4 belonging to Clarence Hirschbach. So there are now, if the amendment is accepted, there would be 5 properties that were excluded. And the amount that needs to be assumed by the borough, if accepted, is $24,469.50 rather than $19,575.60. I'd like to speak to this.
Yeah, say that number again, 24,000.
Yeah, the revised figure would be $24,469.50.
Okay, please speak to it.
You know, as we left this discussion last time, I got the sense that nobody really had any problems with the fact that these particular owners listed as excluded could not build on their property, and therefore the exclusion was proper. What we had some difficulty with was with assuming the financial liability for the excluded property owners. I'm not sure if we've made any headway there, but the alternative is to put this back out to the 177 property owners listed in this LID, of which about 50 of those property owners may qualify for an exemption based solely on the value of their property. And there may be others that would qualify for an exemption based on the fact that their properties can't be built on. So, you know, it's really my recommendation that we move forward as proposed in this amendment, because I think that that would be financially cheaper. If we send this back out to to the 177 property owners, we're going to probably find that a number of them are going to take advantage of the possibility of getting an exception, and that is going to pretty dramatically drive up the LID assessment to the other 120 property owners that may be out there. I leave it to you.
Well, what do you advise that we do differently next time so we don't end up in this corner?
You know, I really think that you know, we need to approach LIDs as non-contiguous. I think we truly need to advise the public that the best way to go into a LID, and the only way that we're looking at it right now, is as a non-contiguous LID. LIDs have a value in that they develop neighborhoods so that the neighborhoods can grow themselves, and, you know, basically paid for by the citizens, which I think is a good program. But we can't afford to be tripped up like we were on this one, and assume financial responsibility for a number of LIDs in the future. I think we really have to design these LIDs to be non-contiguous, and make sure, and we may have to change ordinance to make sure that we have a larger majority of people who are actually voting yes on these LIDs. It may not be improper to put that at 90% for non-contiguous LIDs.
Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to agree with what's been said. Speak in favor of the secondary amendment, in favor of the amendment and the ordinance as amended. Thank you.
I'm not sure you can speak in favor of all that at once, but...
Sorry. Sorry for the mistake.
That's all right. You'll have a chance to do that. Assemblymember Culligan.
Yeah, so a lot's come to light since the last time we spoke, and the non-contiguous LID was available at this time as well. I'd like to know where all these people were and who else is going to come out of the woodwork after this passed. That's the big problem. Follow the process. The process has been done. Although I identify with you the problem and the like, it's not like we're talking about construction. This dang thing's in the ground, plumbed and ready to go, and it's the past the midnight hour. We're into the twilight zone here, and it's an issue. And my sense is if we vote on this, as you've identified, there's other properties out there that are going to come forward. And I'd like to ask the attorney, do they have standing after we pass this to come forward? And if that's the case, there's no there there. We followed the process. This is a process. How do we mitigate the final answer here?
Mr. Spropoulos.
So based upon the state law, the objections that you have right now, you need to consider whether or not they're valid objections. I think at the last meeting, Assemblymember Mayfield's motion talked about the lots that were restricted by deeds. I think there were other objections presented as well. Somebody saying, I don't intend to use it, or I'm not going to be there full time. It's not worth my money. And I think there was a statement that those were found to be invalid. As it pertains to the objections, people need to have objected before the hearing tonight to have a valid objection. So after, if you pass this ordinance tonight and the rule is confirmed and it moves forward, then an objection that comes later will be untimely. As to the people who have unbuildable lots, they do get to come forward even after the LID was approved, either earlier this year or last year, whenever it was, before the construction started, they do get to come forward at this stage and still object. But they have to do it in a timely fashion. I might even have to be in writing and have to check the state statute again to take a quick look. But once the roll is confirmed, they can't object if they haven't objected already.
Assemblymember Arvind and Assemblymember Sykes.
Well, this is completely broken. And, there's got to be some mechanism for us or some step for us to take. If I've got a piece of property that has a covenants on it that says I can't build on it, and an LID was approved and set and done, and I find out about it later, it was done against... How could somebody levy an LID on my piece of property that can never use the product? Something's not adding up there. Mr. Spropoulos.
It's been done before, I can promise you.
Not only has it been done before, there is a holder. So in this particular circumstance, there appears to be a bona fide deed restriction that was put in the 80s when these properties were transferred. Some entity is holding that deed restriction. A property owner can go to the holder of that deed restriction and say, I'll pay you X many dollars to lift my deed restriction. It can be done. Because even property that's held by, conservation easements and great land trust and things like that, there is an entity that owns them, governmental property. I mean, there's always someone owning the property who can, change their use or allow. For example, if I sell you a piece of property and say, but you can't ever, build more than a 5,000 square foot building on it, you come to me 15 years later and say, look, I want to build a 10,000 square foot building, I could sell you that right at a later date.
Assemblymember Sykes.
I'd like to follow on Assemblymember Arvin's idea. If this is already in the ground and the roll is being closed, what would be the effect if we continued this until June 16th and allowed people the opportunity to comment or object or whatever? I think I heard Mr. Mayfield say that if too many people opted out, it would raise the assessment to the ones that remained in potentially quite high. And so, on one hand, I'd like people the opportunity to object. On the other hand, this thing looks like it was done. I mean, it's not as bad as the ferry, but come on. There's some problems here. What would be the effect of that if we held it open and allowed people to object? How many potentially could opt out of this?
Assemblymember Sykes, the clerk advises me that since this was postponed, every single property owner was notified. So,
okay,
we're not operating in the dark.
Okay, thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. Manager, did you want to speak?
Yeah, first I'd like to make one point regarding this and then have Nick kind of clarify. We do not have the staff And we do not go through every person's deed when there's an LID. We'd be adding quite a bit of staff to do so, a bit of research. I don't know if we could even get these done in maybe a 1 or 2 year period. So there is that. So we're not at that level. Essentially, somebody said this process is on autopilot. It, you know, pretty much is. We have the petition. We have the numbers. We move forward because we're anxious to help these people lower their fuel costs and heating costs. These type of things happen. But we did do a non-contiguous LID. Worked pretty well, but it happened after three or four or five attempts, a failure before. The people are pretty anxious who wanted it to make it work. The question I want Nick to clarify is, if the property owner signs a petition, votes yes, and then later brings in a piece of paper and says, I'm prevented by deed from using this, even though they signed a petition, they said yes, they voted on yes, when it goes in the ground, they still, because there's a reason they cannot take advantage of it, they still can be exempt from paying that. Is that correct, Mr. Attorney?
They could if the assembly believes that they legitimately can't use it.
That's right.
And if the assembly wants to subsidize it with the other taxpayers' money? Where's this $24,000 coming from? That out of the manager's salary? Mr. Manager.
Can I have, we're going to avoid that question. Can I have Cheyenne and Marcia come up and explain, because one process that Mr. Mayfield would be is the question that you just asked that we're not going to answer tonight. But the other one would be going back and re-spreading the $24,000 among the property owners that do have the benefits. So at this point in time, if these five properties are excluded, what are our options for that $24,000 balance?
Cheyenne.
Through the mayor to the assembly. I may have to refer that to Nick because I'm not exactly sure where we're going to take that money from. I don't know if we can legally use area-wide tax dollars to do it. Normally when LIDs are paid for borough land, we take it out of land management, but I don't know that they have a budget to handle that.
If the borough does not pay, how does the process go to reassign that $24,000 among all the other properties in LID? What has to be done for that to happen?
When we sent out the new letter of notice, we gave them a range of what the value or the cost could be to them. Since we didn't know for sure how many properties would be pulled out, so they've already been given a range of what their assessment could be on this property based upon, how many was it?
177 to 171.
So between 177 to 171 properties remaining in the LID. So we have noticed them of the cost, you know, based upon pulling properties out.
Okay, so clarification, there's five properties. Does the range that we told the property owners, is that pulling out those five properties, does that still cover the entire cost of this LID that we have obligated ourselves to NSTAR?
With that range, yes.
Okay, so there is really no purpose, because there is amount of funds through this process to cover that, no purpose for having to come up with this dollars from borough taxpayers outside this area.
Exactly.
Okay.
You sound relieved, Mr. Manager.
I was scared.
Mr. Culligan and Mr. Maple.
Yeah, so I would like to suggest an amendment to this, that we address the properties exemption for tonight is locked, but then that addition is spread over the existing participating properties. This is about as distasteful as taking a bite of that soil at the moment. And
so there's, we're already on a secondary amendment.
Okay.
So, Mr. Mayfield,
I would withdraw my amendment in favor Do we need to have consent and withdraw of my secondary?
Your amendment had to do with the crosswalk, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, it did, but I will withdraw.
Yeah, Madam Clerk, bring us reason here.
Mr. Mayor, if you vote on the secondary, it will include that one property. You can then make another secondary amendment to strike out the last sentence where the borough has the financial liability. Except as I see Mr. Sprapolis raising his hand.
Mr. Sprapolis.
And then replace that with the new assessment amount.
Okay.
Because you're changing the assessment amount in the ordinance.
Thank you.
Okay, you hear that? You hear that, Cheyenne? We're going to need that number. Okay, on the secondary amendment, dealing with these five properties, is there any objection? Hearing none, we will now go to a new secondary, Mr. Culligan.
Yeah, so I would like to amend and strike the borough obligation for that and have our finance department give us the numbers that would be redistributed to the remaining parcels. And have that be read into the record.
That could be done later, Madam Clerk.
Yes,
okay.
It's in a different area of the ordinance, Mr.
Okay.
Mayor.
Okay, that number will be substituted. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, ready for the primary. As amended, any objection? Hearing none, that seemed pretty easy after we finally got.
But now we do need to change that amount on the first page of Ordinance 15042, and Cheyenne would need to tell me if it's in any other areas of the ordinance. The second whereas clause, what Assemblymember Culligan was wanting to do. The cost per lot.
We'll get that on the record.
Mr. Mayor and some of the members, the cost per lot will be $5,031.22.
Okay.
$5,031.22.
Thank you. And now we're ready for the final motion as amended.
Mr. Mayor, we need to approve the amendment. Somebody needs to move the amendment to strike the cost per lot and insert the $5,031.22.
Mr. Mayfield.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Does everybody understand what we're doing?
Yeah.
I think so. Is there any objection? Okay. Now we have Ordinance 15042 duly and thoroughly amended. Is there any further discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, that passes. Brings us to 15061.
An ordinance repealing permanent registration of motor vehicles over 8 years old and permanent registration of non-commercial trailers and repealing changes to the motor vehicle tax distribution to restore the distribution to the original amounts. And, Mr. Mayor, the main motion is what's on the floor.
Thank you. Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to divide the question between vehicles and trailers, please.
Okay, the clerk's asking us to hold on. Okay, Madam Clerk, there's been a motion to divide the question.
Okay.
Is there any objection to that?
To deal
with vehicles separately from trailers.
Okay.
Is there objection to dividing the question?
Yes,
Mr.
sir.
Mr. Sykes?
Yes, I do appreciate the intent of the maker of the amendment, but the amendment I just passed out would effectively allow the permanent registration of trailers to continue, but would stop the permanent registration of cars.
I'll withdraw my motion then.
Well, you can only do that if there's no objection.
Okay. Well, I don't think that the question is actually dividable, so that's why I put it that way.
Okay, well, we had allowed that it was divisible, but there was no objection. So, Mr. Sykes, you can make your motion.
Okay. Well, I do have an amendment, which I just passed out. Since the last time this came before us, just as a little refresher, we originally approved this in, I believe, October of last year. And at the meeting, there was conflicting information about what the effects of this would be. But now we actually know them. And I'd hoped to have a chart for both the audience and us tonight, but I will do my best with my hands. So, right now, we're getting about $2.4 million a year from the motor vehicle and trailer registration. And so, what's happening under our current law that allows the permanent registration is this is going to gradually decrease. And through a number of machinations, it'll decrease to next to nothing. But it's going down. And so over a period of time, we don't know exactly when the funds are going to run out. It could be 2022, 2024, but very little money by then is going to be collected. After about 3 years, the major portion of it is gone. And so the deal is that this is one of the fees that people who register motor vehicles pay. It's kind of a user fee because when we collect taxes, they generally go into the general fund. But this is only paid by people who register motor vehicles, and we assume that they drive them. And so this road maintenance fund that was testified to earlier is going to lose, once it gets down towards the bottom, it's going to lose over $2 million a year. And so the permanent registrations, if the law sunsets, as it is set to do now in 2018, it's not that it's going to start going back up, because remember, these vehicles were registered permanently, so they're not, as long as people drive them, they're not going to be registered again. So it will rise, but it will not go up to the same level it was until people buy new cars. And that could take quite a lot of time. So there's a large amount of revenue that's missing here. And so the one-line explanation I've made, because I have gotten quite a few calls on this, and, you know, once a fee is removed, people don't really want it back, and I fully understand that. But most people don't want to choke on dust. Most people do want their roads maintained. And so we had our listening session, and this is one of the fees that was proposed and put out there for discussion. Because if the roads go bad, which they are almost guaranteed to do due to lack of maintenance, then where is the money going to come from? That's always the problem when you eliminate a fee or where you get rid of a tax is, okay, what are you going to cut or where are you going to get the money? And in this case, the most logical place to look would be the road service area. And so the road service area could say, geez, we need to really maintain our roads, so we're going to raise your taxes. Well, whose taxes is that raising? It's raising property taxes. And my whole point is to try and diversify the taxes away from the property owners. And so I put it on the table before you. And so I did some research in this, and all the people who called me and asked me about this, there were a couple of pretty hostile people, too. But when I explained that it's kind of like a user fee, and that if people register their car, whether it's 1 year old, 8 years old, 20 years old, if it drives on the roads, it has an impact on the roads. And so, to a person, people said, yeah, that's reasonable. But what really gets me is I've got this trailer or these trailers, and I only use them occasionally, and I don't think that they damage the roads a lot. And so I did some research, and I contacted the head of DMV and looked at the trailers, and it's probably maybe 1/6 or 1/7 of the registrations that are coming. And so my proposed amendment would allow trailers to continue to be permanently registered because they actually do have less of an impact than the vehicles that currently drive. This would not have an impact on the this would not have an impact on the exemption for senior citizens, and because it would restore the process back to the way it was before, it would return money to the cities that have now been taken away through the current legislation.
Mr. Sykes, have you made your amendment yet?
No, but I just want to explain that the big board here is not a bunch of big government officials that are trying to squeeze every dime out of the taxpayer. These are your friends and neighbors that maintain your neighborhood roads, and I think they deliberated pretty carefully on this. So the amendment that I'm bringing forward is I'd like to amend Ordinance Serial Number 15061 on pages 3 and 4 of the ordinance. That's pages 433 and 434 of the packet, by striking from this ordinance the entire two paragraphs which intend to repeal MSB 3.15.035, paragraph B4, beginning with the wording "as per the authority granted" and ending with the wording "permanently register the trailer without additional tax." I also move to amend Ordinance Serial Number 15-061 on page 4 of the ordinance, page 434 of the packet, to strike the current section B5 and replace it with a B5 that says, "effective May 27, 2015, permanent registration of motor vehicles as per AS, it's Alaska Statute 28.10.155, is not allowed within the Matanuska-Susitna Borough." The effect of these amendments to the ordinance tonight will be that Ordinance Serial Number 15-061 will repeal permanent registration of motor vehicles, but permanent registration of non-commercial trailers will remain in the borough code. So that is the effect of the amendment, and if we do the amendment and we want to talk more about the main motion, we talked about spending during our budget process, but we really didn't talk about revenue. So I bring this for your consideration. I know people aren't going to be happy about it, but it is perhaps one of the more direct fees that people pay that helps maintain their roads and keeps down their dust, that is paid because this tax is collected. And people haven't griped about it much for the past 20 years, but now that they don't have to pay it, they're starting to gripe, and I understand that, and I appreciate it. So that's my amendment, and I urge you to support it.
Assemblymember Culligan. And then Assemblymember Doty.
So I've stated my position before, and I'll state it again. I think the numbers are a little funny here because I identify with the Road Service Area Board and the dust control money, but the majority of the money collected never went to dust collection. It went to the general fund. And I would rather have a road service area tax that addressed those concerns directly rather than being in my pocket in other areas and money that wasn't necessarily all committed towards that source. And that was the issue before and the like. So there's been a lot of money collected over the years. There are two different issues. One's trailers and one's vehicles. As many people that commute to Anchorage, I don't think you see that many 8 or more year old cars as we go on, and it's I don't think the numbers there. I don't think you have the numbers, and I'd like to see some more information. I'd like to see the allocation of dust control money or how it's allocated in detail before we take a vote on this.
Assemblymember Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just need some clarification. If we can further delay this, since it's been postponed once, to get the wording as suggested by the previous assemblyman to designate this money, should it be reinstated, to go to the dust control rather than the general fund?
I think that would be appropriate when we come back to the main motion because that is addressed, I believe. Right now, we're talking about simply allowing the trailers to have a permanent registration. Further discussion on. Did you understand that?
I speak in support of the amendment, with the understanding that the senior. Benefit is still remains in effect.
Right, that was never in question. So, is there objection to the amendment? Hearing none, that passes. That brings us now to the main motion, and Assemblymember Halter.
Yes, I just wanted to speak briefly on a subject Mr. Culligan brought up about where the money goes. I think there's a direct, you know, the big road board has been opposed to this when the original ordinance came up. They're opposed to it now. There's a direct relationship to the money going to road service areas like the Talkeetna Road Service Area, the Trapper Creek Road Service Area, the Willow Road Service Area, the Middle Lakes Road Service Area. They all get their budget reduced by, if I recall, I think like Talkeetna Road Service Area is like $18,000, which is not a lot of money, but for a road service area their size, it's a significant amount. So that money was going directly to benefit those road service areas. What's going to happen is that they'll probably have to readjust their mill rate to go up to offset that money that's going down to this. So it wasn't really going in the general fund. Mr. Dolan could probably answer these questions directly, but it wasn't going into the general fund. It's going directly to places where it needed it the most. And I guess that's the impact that this ordinance has. It had it right off the bat. We probably shouldn't have voted for it right off the bat. And now we're in a crux of either raising the mill rate or doing this.
Assemblymember Halter, on page 435, it lays out how it splits out. And a big chunk of that does go to the area-wide. Any further discussion? Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't have all of the details in front of me, but what this does is it restores the program back to the way it was before we voted on it in October. And so those allocations that Assemblymember Culligan asked about are readily available, and if you want to understand them more, that's fine. But that's what it is.
Do you want me to read it here? As of July 1st, 2015, every license fee will give $15 to area-wide, non-area-wide $3, special service areas $3, fire service areas $2, road service areas $8, cities $7, and cities with that have got higher taxes, $1.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Culligan.
So again, after reading that, a good chunk of it goes to general fund, fire service, not road service, doesn't go to dust control specifically, and this is why we addressed this before, and it used to be different than this. It used to be all go, I think, pretty much to general fund, and then it was mixed with the sausage and came out with different color dollars that was handled to the road service area. I would like to figure out from the road service boards what that actual amount for dust control is and the like, and come up with a program to address that. This isn't an emergency. It's nothing new. It doesn't have to be dealt with tonight. But I do object to being in pocket in general fund in this undescribed, unallocated. It would be nice if those actual user fees went to actual road service areas to offset those costs directly, but a good portion of it, just read to you, goes to the general fund, and that's where I kind of disinformation and it burned out on talking about tonight.
I'll recomment on that.
Assemblymember, let's not start tit for tat. Oh, Assemblymember Arvin's first.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I could ask the Mr. Sykes a question or a point of clarification. So how much revenue, even though it's a multi-year algorithm to try to figure out income and expense, but how much are you anticipating will be captured by pulling the vehicles back in and yet exempting trailers over time?
The original, through the mayor, to Assemblymember Arvin, the original estimate when the funds run out, or nearly out, was to lose $2.4 million annually by exempting the trailers. I just did a quick calculation. I did try to find out tonight what more precisely what it would be, because I did get exact numbers from the head of DMV. But I estimate that that would be about, we would retain about 2.2 million or maybe 2.1 million if the trailers are continued to be permanently registered. It's commensurate with the 2.4, but as I said, it goes down gradually, and because all these funds are distributed with different methodologies, and this fund not to exceed $500,000 is, I think you'd have to be a math major to understand that, and I'm not.
And then to follow up, Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Arvin.
This is on the platform of tax diversification. So if we pull this tax back in, what is the mechanism you see for reducing the mill levy with this additional income? Because you mentioned early on you wanted to unsaddle the private property owners, but as this sits right now, I just see this as additional tax income with no offsetting goal to reduce the mill levy to the property owner.
Well, I don't understand. I can see where you're going with this, but we have now removed revenue stream by the current situation by doing the permanent registration. So it's not, there's nothing offsetting the loss. And so what I'm saying is we are in a fairly permanent downhill slope in terms of the revenue coming to the borough. And we are in a fairly permanent slope of rising and fixed costs that we're not collecting. The difference is getting greater every year. And so I'm saying, yeah, we haven't gotten very far into this case, but by repealing it, it becomes a user tax to the people who register and drive their vehicles. And these other things are directly related. The fire service doesn't really want to go out on crappy roads. They've said so a number of times, so that's probably why they get some money. But it's nothing is a perfect system, but it doesn't show up as a property tax. It does show up as a fee for your car, and you can argue that these are the same people maybe, but at least it is not going back to the taxpayer and taxing your personal property to get revenue that is probably needed for the roads. Otherwise, you know, that as I said, the easiest place to look is going to be the road service areas, and then the road service areas directly go back to the property tax owner, and it becomes a property tax. And Mr. Culligan apparently favors that. I see that we should try and do other things besides going back to the property taxpayer.
Mr. Halter.
Yeah, in this budget, 2016, we had $500,000 dust control, Tab O capital projects funded by area wide, I believe, which was money that's coming from this vehicle registration. And then, of course, so much is going to each road service area, like I mentioned earlier. So I guess if we keep the repeal, or if the ordinance stays in effect that you don't register vehicles, that $500,000 dust control eventually is going to have to be made up by area-wide taxes. It's going to put pressure in the mill rate to go up instead of using the vehicle registration. So it basically is just, one or the other. You're either your road service area mill levy is going to go up a little bit at each road service area to cover it, those costs that, what is it, $8 a vehicle that they're receiving now. And it's not that much money, $18,000 here and there in each road service area, but their mill levy is going to have to go up, and eventually our area-wide mill levy's got to go up because we're losing that money coming into the budget. And so I guess the question is whether you want the mill levies to go up or you want the vehicle tax. And this gentleman said something about it's hard on seniors. Well, that's not really true, because we have a $218,000 property tax exemption for seniors. And I think that's very generous. It was voted on. We have $150,000 from the state, so I think seniors have a benefit that they should have. But I wouldn't see this as hurting seniors any more than anybody else because of that. I just wanted to say I appreciate your comment, but I wanted to mention that.
Assemblymember Culligan.
So again, many thoughts. Money's not all going to road service area and dust control. It's going to the general fund and other things. And $18,000 in the bigger picture for road service area, I'd like to know what the fraction of a percent of a mill rate that is versus all the other gymnastics of collecting it, managing it, and other stuff. I can see Mr. Sykes diversifying the revenue cap. I would love to see a consumption tax, a sales tax that actually was under the cap, but it reduced property taxes that paid for things like our schools, et cetera, if you could ever get somebody to agree to that. But you're never going to get to that discussion until you're honest with the people about how much of their property tax pays for those items. We've had that discussion before. And in this case, I just believe that when it doesn't go directly and all of it towards that use, and we're generating more revenue than that cost, it's going to the general fund. Yeah, it's an easy dip, but right now you can't give us the total numbers, but it is generating quite a bit of revenue. And I can see your point, but the reality is for next year's budget, I think this would be a great discussion and figure out what the real numbers are and see where it is at that point. But I don't think you can really tell when you definitively and identify all what the additions to the road service areas are. But I get a little bit offended when it's road service area or maintenance when the money evaporates into general largesse.
Mr. Mayor?
So, Assemblymember Doty.
I would like to move that we call the question on the issue of the trailer since we split the items, and that we postpone the time certain August 4th for the second half related to the vehicles.
Yeah, the amendment dealing with the trailers is already passed. We're on the final motion as amended. Did you want
to? I would like to move to postpone certain.
Till when?
August 4th.
Okay, there's a motion to postpone till August 4th. Is there objection to that? There's no objection. So thank you, Dr. Doty. We move on. Actually, we're doing more of that nowadays. We just kick it down the road. That's why we had so much unfinished business here. So we want a break before we start the veto. Don't think so. So let's come back at 9:05. And let's try to be businesslike, whoa, and to the point. Madam Clerk, would you explain the process on the vetoes?
I will, Mr. Mayor. If there is a veto that a member would like to move to override, they would need to move to override such and such veto, and you should read it into the record just like it is in the bold. That way everybody's clear which veto you're overriding. And I can explain the voting process when we get to that, Mr. Mayor, so it's clear when we get to the voting process. Assemblymember Sykes.
Right. And in case you hadn't noticed, there's pretty much just two categories here. One is the grant process, which I am suggesting is a wide open door that needs to change. It's the easiest money in this state. You just get a city or an assembly member and half a dozen people with a good cause, and you don't have to do an application, you don't have to do anything. But there's no limits to how much or what for.
Assemblymember
Sykes.
I just have a point of information for the clerk. Can we combine a number of these vetoes and just take a whole bunch of them at once?
Through the mayor to Assemblymember Sykes, you could. My suggestion is that you don't, and that way you don't have people dividing the question because they may be for one and against another. However, it's up to the body which way you do it.
You guys are in charge. Nobody wants to be. Oh, right. Make a motion. Good. Let's move on. You can do whatever you want.
I'll start with number one and keep moving down. Do we take a vote as we go along, or we just need to add them to the queue? So I'll start with number one, block grants to the cities. COP, $40,000. City of Palmer, City of Wasilla, $45,000. City of Houston, $21,000.
So, Mr. Mayor, if I can, unless people are wanting to talk about it, I can wait to explain the vote.
Is that a motion to override?
That's a motion to override, yes. And the clerk's going to explain the vote.
So the motion that's on the floor is to override veto number one. If you're in favor of overriding the mayor's veto, you would vote yes. If you are in favor of the mayor's veto, you would vote no. It takes five votes to override.
Is that clear? You ready for the question, Mr. Halter?
Well, I support Mr. Culligan's motion to override in these. I understand what you're saying, Mr. Mayor, but... We have great relationships with our cities, I believe, Wasilla, Palmer, and Houston. We have people of borough using the city libraries and things like that. And I realize Houston doesn't truly have a library. We've always viewed them as a city, nevertheless, and they get a block grant for their uses. They don't have a very big budget. So I'm in full support of overriding your veto on this, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I too would like to speak in support of Assemblymember Culligan's motion. These are grants. They were requested. But I must say that I agree with you, Mr. Mayor, that we should have a process, which we do not now have. But that's for the next budget, and I'm going to support these. I'm going to support the override. Thank you.
Is there any objection to the override? Hearing none, that...
Mayor, I have another one.
It approves. Assemblymember Culligan.
So the next one I'd like to go with, my priority is veto number five, planning grant, City of Wasilla, $150,000 for SART, the Sexual Assault Response Team. As discussed earlier, and we'll continue, I'm sure it applies to all of these, I would like to see some kind of a process, but this is something that's not in our general budget. It's a borough-wide need. It just troubles me as a resident to have to send victims here locally into Anchorage for testing. People in Anchorage know dirt bags that if they can assault somebody and bring them out here and they don't make the 24-hour window for gathering evidence, it's not admissible in court. There's all sorts of things, but I think as a community we have the responsibility for this, and in past we've had state money and other matching money, and I do agree that they came to us with other sources. This is a kind of a tough year, but this is I think it should be a big priority for our community, and would ask support to override your veto, even though I understand your overall issue with it.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Doty.
I also support the override of the veto for the same reasons. This is a critical program for our community, and I do think that we should look at a more solid and continuing funding source rather than this methodology, but that's for a future date.
Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I too support the motion. Again, everybody has said that it's a valuable program, but this is not something you can just stop and start. SART has to be ongoing, and so I hope that we get other dollars involved through the process in the future, but I'm going to support this year. Thank you.
Okay, and everybody understands there's nothing wrong with any of these programs. That's not why they're vetoed. Okay. Is there any objection to the motion to override? There's no objection, so that...
Mr. Mayor?
Assemblymember Culligan.
I'd like to talk about and make a motion to override veto number six, which is youth court, $150,000. I had concerns when this came up in the budget with the amount over last year's budget, but I also think this is a...
a program that benefits our community in, as a whole, as stated earlier by the mayor of Wasilla, who unfortunately I think people see it as their program, not necessarily the borough's program, but I think it pays back to community, it pays back to business community, and I would like to, as soon as the budget's passed, us engage in a conversation with these folks and the cities about next year how we might diversify the funding. I think the dollar amount is more this year because they didn't get state grants, but I think there's other folks that should be interested in this besides just the borough, but I would like to support and ask for an override of this and have a discussions of how we move forward for next year's budget.
Okay. Is there any objection to the motion to override? Hearing none, that veto fails. Assemblymember Halter.
Yes, I'm going to move to override veto number 7, $100,000 for principal payment of the revolving loan fund, Amendment 5. And if I could speak to that.
You may.
This, of all your vetoes, I think this is the one that was not wise. I think this is almost fiscally irresponsible because the Assembly voted unanimously to use the revolving loan fund to purchase the Nancy Lake property. That property was actually in the tonight's Assembly packet, and we're moving forward with that. I propose this amendment to pay back that loan at an accelerated rate, $100,000 a year, as fast as we possibly could. And so this would be the first principal payment in the budget, in the 2016 budget, to repay that revolving loan fund. And then they could use the revolving other communities or what other, we could use that for other projects. So I would ask that this be overridden. And I realize that you had some comment about the mill rate. There is a borough legal opinion that the mayor cannot veto mill rates or reduce them. So I would ask that this be overridden, please.
Further discussion? Is there objection? Okay. What about the rest of them? Assemblymember Arvin.
Mr. Mayor, I move to override veto 2, grant of $150,000 for the Alaska Scholastic Clay Target Program. I'd like to take just a minute to chat about it.
You may.
So we went down the path. We identified a piece of property, the first piece of property that the community didn't embrace. It was borough property. We found a second piece of property that was also borough property. And the challenge with bequeathing a piece of borough property that's not controversial with potential adjacent property owners objecting is difficult because there's not a lot of borough land that is in the inner area of the borough, not necessarily the core area. But most of the borough's property that wouldn't have objection is very far outlier land that is much of which isn't even accessible by road. So the idea for finding MSB land for a shooting facility and conveying a piece of property is easily said, but it's not easily done. And this $150,000 appropriation was to open up additional real estate that's held in the public purview, that's privately held, thus allowing the club access to more potential sites that don't bring any adjacent property conflicts. I thought it was a pretty brilliant idea Mr. Halter had to do that. I did not think of that, and I thought it was a resolution to get us to where we ended up. I remember Mr. Sykes saying, well, does this open up the floodgates for a curling club? Legitimate comment. But I would imagine if a curling club came in front of the assembly asking for a piece of dirt for them to build out their own facility with no additional government support, you wouldn't find opposition from adjacent property owners because it's a curling club, it's not a shooting club. Different activities bring different issues with them. And frankly speaking, I would support giving a piece of dirt to a curling club so they could go build out their facility. Because that's really what we're talking about at the end of the day, is a piece of dirt. It's not an ongoing multi-year ask. I know that the mayor, Mr. Mayor, you're nervous that these block grants or grants in general tend to become develop a life of their own and there's a year-on-year ask. That's not what this is. This is something quite different than that. The club is prepared to do the things necessary to develop the raw piece of land for a youth shooting club. It's not in competition with anybody. And I would ask that the members support me in overriding the mayor's veto. Thank you.
Assemblymember Culligan.
Yeah, I want to address a couple of things that were brought up during comment, and it was a kind of interesting discussion of subsidizing, quote, this group. And I'll remind you that this year we passed through $200,000+ for a kitchen at a ski facility. We've invested $4 million at a Nordic ski facility. We're paving the road there for that group of young folks and all sorts of other things. And as was pointed out, we've had Olympic champions and the like, and I don't think this competes with the adult shooting ranges. I think over time it'll actually augment it. And I'd like to speak in favor of the override. I understand the process, but I think this is the seed money that they can go leverage with other organizations that I know when they have something in hand. And I think we can talk forever about the transfer of land and the discussions about fair market value and stuff, and this kind of makes it happen, makes it possible for that group of users. Yeah, it's not mountain bikes and it's not cross-country skiers. It's an outdoor shooting range, and I think there's possibility out there. And they have a proven track record, along with others, of 100% volunteer, 100% of the money going to the cause, and some great outcomes have happened. And I'll just leave it at that, but thank you.
No one did.
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Halter and then Assemblymember Doty.
Yes, I want to, you know, this is, first of all, they're a nonprofit 503C. You know, they'd actually applied for borough land in two locations. They've withdrawn their Meadow Lakes property. So they had the right to participate in that 10% less than fair market value program. And just about every assembly member I heard, Mr. Mayfield objected to Big Lake, but he said, I like the program. I like what they're trying to do, their mission for students and kids. And I do, too. And the problem was trying to find a piece of property where they could locate that didn't affect a subdivision or some other property. So this money, they can't just use it for anything. It specifically says they have to buy private property, and that's it. And so we've actually went out and identified a piece of property that I think actually meets the bill right 100%. It's a rural location. It's not going to affect many neighbors. I think it has a lot of potential. I believe Mr. Arvin looked at it with me, and you know, we put bond money in the schools on the football fields. I can't remember how much of the school bond money is, but we resurfaced every high school football field with bond money. We've done a lot of amazing things for students, and this is just another aspect of it. You know, I really supported the 10% program, but it was just the location. It was just hard to find a piece of borough property that met the needs without affecting some subdivision. And so hopefully they will use this money wisely. I really appreciated Neil coming in and answering some questions tonight about their program. I guess there is some friction with another shooting area. I hope that could be resolved. But we're not trying to compete or take away business. I fully believe that. So I join in motion override.
You just have to give them some next year. Assemblymember Doty.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to speak against the override for several reasons, one of which is the clear testimony we had today that there are other options for this resource in the community, and secondly, that we're comparing apples and oranges when we're talking about investing in fields that are owned by the school district or fields that are owned by the community. They're not private land. I understand the 10% program and would support that, but the full budget for the Clay Target program, other than the verbal statements that have been made to clarify for me exactly how this would be used, one of the inquiries was related to whether the public would be able to use this target program as well. That's not been answered for me. It's taxpayer money going directly to a program that I think is an excellent stunt, are not answered for me, so I cannot support the override.
Thank you. Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think that this proposal is just a little different than all the others that are before us. Every other one of these proposals had some kind of process. There was an ask. And there was an application first in Big Lake, and then it was attempted to find another place. We never actually voted on that application that was pending. And then suddenly we come up with this proposal to buy land. We did not receive any request from the club. It didn't go through any kind of process. And at least the other ones, even though we don't have a formal process, at least they came to us with some justification for the request. And to me, this looks like kind of an end run around process. And that's one of my main objections to it. I mean, like, we don't have much of a process, but I think we're sure going to have one next year. And I agree with the testimony we heard earlier in terms of wants and needs. This doesn't meet the needs list, at least not this year. And so there are resources that can be used. There are options to pursue in the future. And I'm going to invite my colleagues on the Assembly to sustain the mayor's veto. I think he encapsulated it. I believe every single one of us at this table believes this is a great program. But I don't think this is the way to go about it. And it is unique among all of these measures.
Assemblymember Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wanted to listen to the discussion, and I have to say that I struggle with this because of the fact that we're using public money for a private organization. Having said that, I recognize the value of the program, and We have worked through the details of trying to find them land, find land, recognize the value of the program, and also kind of balance the value of our resources, our land resources, with the amount of money we're going to ultimately get. And when Assemblyman Halter brought this proposal up, I really weighed it in my conscience to determine what I thought would be a compromise for the taxpayers, knowing that at some point in time the program would be successful in gaining land. So I feel that this is a good compromise, so I'm going to support the override.
Assemblymember Halter.
I just wanted to comment on some things Mr. Sykes said. This has been, this organization has applied for land twice, so this is not something new. It was kicked out of the Big Lake area into District 7, my district, because they chose some land on Selden and Church. That land on Selden and Church, 80 acres, is worth in the neighborhood of $500,000 or $600,000, is my understanding. So you 10% of that, they have the right to pay that. They're going to get in. So the borough's given up a lot of money right there. So this is a pretty reasonable alternative to fund. And then the location is what it's all about. Location, location, location. And so the location that they could, the piece of property we looked at, the 80 now over by Houston off Miller's Reach, which is for sale, they would have the opportunity to purchase that land. And that's what this is all about. So it is unique, I agree. But it takes, still going to be in District 7, it makes the correct land for the use. And I tell you, the land over in Church and Selden, there was three subdivisions right within a circle right around this area. You know, so they withdrawn the application. They were gentlemen us the next morning after we passed this in the budget. They had a letter in by noon, didn't they? Withdrew that application, took the pressure off the community council. Meadow Lakes Community Council didn't like it. A lot of the neighborhoods didn't like it. They were starting petitions. And that's what this is all about. And, you know, so you say this is something that's not really been brought to the attention of the people. It's been, this is the third time, third piece of property, third time it's been in front of the assembly. And so I don't quite agree with that.
Assembly Member Sykes.
Thank you. I appreciate what you said, Assembly Member Halter, but the application was a process. And I have yet to see a request from this group, a request from the group saying that they wanted.
They tried to thank us tonight.
Well, I realize that, but we didn't. This is all after the fact. The deal being proposed didn't come with any request. The application withdrawing their previous the letter withdrawing their previous application didn't come with a request for the money, and that's what bugs me, and I think that that's not a good way to go about this. I understand where you're coming from. You think it's the same. I think it's quite different, and we just see this differently. Thank you.
Okay, I have heard of Assemblymember Halter.
Certainly don't blame the club. You know, you can't. You have a bona fide. You can blame me. I've already been a lame duck tonight. You go lame duck me again. You know. This is just the best approach to solving the problem. I realize it's $150,000. This money was taken off of the repairs of the second phase of this building. And so if the veto is sustained, the money will go back to this building, which is probably good. But this is a good use of the money for what we're doing. So I don't think you should blame the club. You certainly should blame me. I was just trying to find out location and allow them to move forward is all I was trying to do. I think Mr. Mayfield hit it right in the nose.
Okay, Assemblymember Arvin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I'll just back up and say a couple of closing comments. This is all about the public. This is all about the public students that live within our borough. This program was discussed originally and voted on by the school board. It's a sanctioned scholastic activity. And the school district is on record testifying in support of this. It's about the public kids that live in our borough that have this as a youth activity. And throwing all the other sports that are publicly funded on the table is exactly relevant. It is germane to the topic. It's an activity that youth can engage in that may not otherwise engage in any other youth sport. It's a pathway to the Olympics. There's a couple Olympians that have come out of the valley. And I think it's a very good program, and I would ask for your support to override the mayor.
Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you. I'll chime in since everybody else has. But since he brought it up, Deputy Mayor Arvin, through the mayor, The school district has spoke in support of the program. They haven't spoke specifically in support of the borough purchasing property for the program. The program exists, and the kids are able to shoot already. It exists. The program is in existence, and no one questions the value of the program. The program is valuable. That's proven. But they haven't spoken directly in support of the borough using money to buy a facility.
Assemblymember Sykes.
Just briefly, Mr. Mayor, I am not looking for anybody to blame. I just want to clarify that the reason that I was concerned about this was due to lack of due process, not anybody to blame. And I just simply tried to describe the facts as they were. So I'm not looking to blame anybody here. So I just want to make that clear.
Okay, I've heard objection, so put it on the board. Yes, overrides the mayor's veto.
Assemblymember Doty.
I vote no.
Mr. Mayor, the override failed with Assemblymember Mayfield, Halter, Culligan, and Arvin in support.
Okay. Anything else? Assemblymember Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move to override veto number four, $25,000 for the Big Lake Lions Community Center, and I'd like to speak to that, please.
You may.
Thank you. In actuality, I agree with your reasoning for veto. The correct answer to sustainability and our ICE programs is to raise our rates so that the users are paying the fees. Philosophically, I agree with that. However, if you recall the trail of discussion that happened as we were discussing fees and the reason why the $25,000 pass-through grant came up was there was a reluctance on the part of this body to raise the fees to approximately $250 of an hour ICE time. And so that being as it may, we continue to supplement the BRET to the point where the lower fees compete with the private sector. And I think it's appropriate in that case that we allow the Big Lake Community Center, who just has an awful lot of good things going for the community of Big Lake and the surrounding area as far as supplying the ICE as well as meeting facilities and recreational facilities. I think it's appropriate that we support them by allowing them the $25,000 pass-through. Thank you.
Is there objection?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there further discussion?
I voted against it the first time. I'm voting against it the second.
Okay. So there has been objection, so put it on the board. Yes, sustains the mayor's veto.
Okay, Mr. Mayor. Yes, overrides, okay. And no, sustains.
Just making sure you're awake.
Assemblymember Duffy.
This is a yes. I vote no, as I did previously.
Mr. Mayor, the veto is overridden with Assemblymember Beck and Doty opposed.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Anything else?
Yes.
Assemblymember Halter.
I move to override your veto 3 block grant, 9500 Houston Fire Hall. Now, this comment, this is, we have some, you said we don't can't guarantee the money is going to be used for painting the fire hall. I can guarantee you that. This money has been was asked for by the fire service area, the fire hall up there. It's in tremendous need of it. We have some mutual. They help back up our Willow Fire Service area for quite a few times right now, and I think it would be a Lovely and Sons painting contractor. Got me a bid on two coats plus trim and to do the fire hall. It's out of the assembly reserve from 2015, so there's no effect on any mill rate, and I'd ask that it be allowed.
Okay. Is there any objection? Hearing none, that veto fails. And there's nothing left unless you want to reconsider.
I want to reconsider the Scholastic. I move to reconsider the veto on the Scholastic.
You failed on that.
Huh? We had four green lights and they only had three.
Well, no, but you were not on the prevailing side.
That's not fair.
You did. You... Sorry about that. Okay, we are now to new business. And that is the introductions. Madam Clerk.
Mr. Mayor, up for public hearing on June 2nd, Ordinance 15033, Ordinance 150676, and accompanying Resolution 15053, Ordinance 1577, with accompanying Resolution 1554, Ordinance 15078, with accompanying Resolution 15055, Ordinance 15079, Ordinance 15080, with accompanying Resolution 15056, Ordinance 15081 and Resolution 15057, and for public hearing on August 4th, Ordinance 15064, Ordinance 15065, and Ordinance 15073.
Thank you. Assembly, Mr. Deputy Mayor, would you move those, please?
I move to introduce the legislation as read into the record by the clerk and set the public hearings for June 2nd, 2015. And August 4th, 2015, respectively.
Thank you. Is there objection? Hearing none, that gives us our business
in 6 days
for June 2nd and August 4th. We now have referrals. Madam Clerk.
Mr. Mayor, we're on the vacancy report.
Oh, that's right. Mr. Deputy Mayor.
I move to confirm the mayor's recommendations up for confirmation as follows. Board of Adjustments and Appeals, Scott Sterling. Local Emergency Planning Committee, Joe Schmidt.
Is there discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, that's the vacancy report. Now referrals. Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 15082, an ordinance amending MSB 17.61 core area conditional use permit requirements to prohibit private landfills within the core area.
Okay. Yep, Assemblymember Beck, do you want to move that?
Thank you. I move resolution serial number 15-057. To refer it to the Planning Commission for 90 days.
Okay. Is there objection? Hearing none, we'll get that back this fall.
Mr. Mayor, just for clarification, that was Ordinance 15082.
Right.
My bad. I'm sorry. I apologize.
What did he say? Oh.
I was looking at the wrong number. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't listening, I guess. Okay, is there any motion to reconsider 15015? Well, can't say I didn't give you a chance. That brings us to comments, Mr. Manager.
In regards to my evaluation, I want to thank the Assembly for the opportunity to work for you and with you. It is certainly an honor and pleasure to serve with you, the citizens, and I'm very pleased to be here, and I'm glad you have the confidence in me to allow me to continue. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Attorney?
And I'll see you next Tuesday for my evaluation.
Madam, well, you saw how long this one took. Better have your homework. Madam Clerk, and you're next.
Yes, I'm after the attorney.
Okay.
And mine don't take as long. I'll repeat that again.
Okay. Okay. Assemblymember Doty, do you want to start our comments tonight?
I appreciate your tolerance of my absentee. I had a long-time plan to be out of town at this point. But I think we had good deliberation, and I certainly appreciate the public comment and input. And, again, the hard work done by staff throughout for a difficult process. So thanks to all, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay. I hope you have been able to hear us better than we've been able to hear you.
It's been excellent on my end.
Oh, there is. Okay. Oh, it's been excellent. I thought you said echo. Okay, that's how bad it is here. Assemblymember Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to thank the manager for getting his contract renewed. Look forward to another year. I would like to actually, in public, ask that you have a draft strategic plan for us when we come back on August 4th. And I hope that we give, it's just a draft. It's not the whole thing. And I look forward to actually having more discussions since we didn't really discuss revenues much. We've kind of been forced into it by talking about them as we do the budget. And I could have asked for reconsideration, but I thought we'd kind of beat the budget to death for this year. And I appreciate all the discussion. I thought that what we had today were a lot of good questions. We didn't answer them all, but I think they deserve to be an answer. And I think that as a deliberative body that we shouldn't be afraid of these discussions, and I welcome them. So thank you to all of my assembly members, and thank you to all the staff that answered many of my questions. And people said we were going to go to midnight, and we're not. So thank you all.
Assemblymember Mayfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I also would like to congratulate the manager on a good review. Thank you for all the hard work that you do for the public and for all of us. And I too look forward to working with you for a very long time. So, on a personal note, I really want to give a shout out to my brother and his wife Sarah. Yesterday, right over here at the Palmer Court Building, they adopted two young ladies, Ruby and Dakota, and welcomed them into their family. I was fortunate enough to be there with my wife and witness the whole proceedings, and it was just a joyous occasion for our family. And gosh, I wish, we had three boys. My wife now has some nieces that she can spoil, and she's really looking forward to that. So, but I just want to congratulate the other Mayfield family, and both Dale and Sarah, and wish them well with their kids. With that, I'll conclude my comments. Thank you.
And what's their relationship going to be to Oliver?
Oliver is Dale's nephew.
Okay.
Yeah, Dale's nephew.
You know, there's some names that just can't escape a farmer. And
that's right. You're Oliver Tractor, right? Yeah. And Oliver's my grandson. So.
Assemblymember Halter.
Mr. Mayor, and yes, I join in and congratulate Mr. Moosey. It's a job well done, and we appreciate your work. And seems like every year, our directors are better directors, and our road bonds and our school bonds have been administered just tremendously, I believe. And so congratulations, and hope to keep you around for quite a while. And I guess, I want to congratulate the Willow Fire Service Area. you know, 2.75 is a needed mill rate. That's, I know there's some contention, you know, but in like area fire service areas, it's still below those fire service areas. Probably the Willow fire service area mill rate should have been 2.5 or 2.75 a long time ago. That seems to be the crux of the problem here, you know. So I thank my fellow assembly members for tolerating all of the things that had to be done to produce a 2.75, but it was needed, and I do expect some results. So I know we have Mr. Gamble and Mr. Barkley and Mr. Green. You know, I have high expectations. You know, a better fire department, better response times, getting water on the fires quicker. So I have expectations to go along with this and the responsibility of the community. And Willow is a growing community. There's no doubt about it. And so I have high hopes, and I hope you take the money and utilize it. And I know there's some people, you know, are worried about we're growing too fast. But I think we have to correct some of the situation up in the fire service area. And, you know, I you could have probably had 2.5. You could have probably had 2.6 or 2.4, 2.3. But I think 2.75 will get them back to the level where their revolving loan fund is up and they're moving and they can get things done at a professional level. And that number came from the professionals. That wasn't just something I thought up. Mr. Gamble and Mr. Green and Mr. Barkley said 2.5 to 2.75 would be a reasonable range to put this mill rate at, and that's where that number came from. And I guess the highlight of the whole budget cycle for me was our assembly meeting in Willow, where over 150 to 180 people showed up to testify over a lot of different issues, and a lot of things are on people's minds, but I really appreciated that. It shows a little bit about the community of Willow. And I guess, you know, if you put a mill rate, that's why mill rates aren't supposed to be voted on, by the way. And, you know, because it'd be real easy to defeat a mill rate every time. We could defeat the area-wide mill rate every time, because that's just a normal human behavior to say, well, boy, I don't want a mill rate to go up. You know, so that's why they're not. The assembly has the responsibility to set mill rates. It's not fun, but that's our responsibility. And I think we've showed some professionalism, and let's move on. Thank you very much.
Assemblymember Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll start off by saying, either you're really allergic to your livestock or you have a cold. I hope you feel better real soon. I'd like to thank everybody who stayed around so long tonight, too, to be a part of the meeting. And maybe you sat there silently throughout the meeting and didn't say anything, but your presence has high value whether you speak or not. So thank you for being here to participate. And that includes the staff as well and all of your hard work. And congratulations to the manager. And I'm thankful to be a small part of the team that gets to really help this borough be the best place in the state of Alaska to live and to work and to play. Thank you.
Assemblymember Culligan.
I'd also like to thank the manager and appreciated the discussion today and look forward to working with you this next year. I also wanted to take the opportunity to thank the staff, especially finance, and I know Tammy's not here, but her staff is. And like, budget's never a whole lot of fun, but I think the last several years we've made great strides in how we approach it. And although this year was particularly a little bit strange with the state legislature still not deciding on a budget and oil prices low and all sorts of other drama, I think we made it through that process, and we still talking to each other, so all is good in my camp. But I think overall, although we have a bit of discussion at this table, I hope that everybody in the community really appreciates what the borough government and our staff and with your leadership, Mr. Moosey, and the attorney and the clerk. I know we're looking forward to your reviews next week just as, with great optimism and enthusiasm. So, but I didn't want it to go unsaid this time. And I've been tough on finance at some points, but I was very pleased, to say the least, submitting a budget and really kind of moving forward, having an internal auditor to help out with some of the tough things around. And I think we're moving in the right direction as we grow, and really appreciate that. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Well, while remaining sensitive not to offend, I'm going to withdraw any comments that I might have for you or others in the room or others that might be listening online. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I would like to take some exception to comments that keep coming back to our revenues decreasing. You're not looking at the hard numbers when you say that. In spite of senior allowances, which the voters voted on, we didn't do that. In spite of those things and inventory tax adjustments, our revenues have steadily gone up. We have not reduced, and we've also absorbed new growth. We've absorbed assessments that are going up. So our revenue stream, I don't see as big a problem as our spending problem. And this wide open window, which was just a niche a few years ago to help the libraries in the cities, has now blossomed into a bundle of things that is going to keep getting bigger and bigger if we don't rethink this. You can rationalize Boy Scouts, Girls, anything, really. And it just takes a few people down here to get the vote. So that bothers me. I had hoped that we could set a new trend for next year. This is just, it's too easy to come and just have it handed out in the form of a block grant. We've got boards that review health and social services requests. It goes before a board. There's an application process, criteria and everything, which is all totally appropriate and a good part of due process. So I'm disappointed that you didn't support me all the way through that. I was pleasantly surprised that Ms. Rosnell supported my concept, at least. Made me think twice. So I wish the folks in Willow well. I did my part to try to slow things down a little bit. I really think you're trying to do too much too fast, and I know most. And I still think the biggest issue in Willow right now is the human resource issue. You need more personnel, and I hope you can get that worked out. I see that it was in a budget request that I saw, and that's really where you need to put your energy. So let's put our bygones behind us and get to work and do the borough's business. And with that, I'm going to adjourn the meeting.